Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, as far as welcome to My Little Pony Talk. It is Friday, October 1st. I'm your host, Pandora Rose, and this is my co-host,
Little Alley Cat, with nothing creative to say.
Well, now that's a shocker.
I know. Sorry, I'm not eating dinner. I can't mumble something about what I'm eating. I had dinner at a regular hour tonight, and I'm still all out of sorts.
Oh my god, someone call the pony police.
That means I'll just have to have snack time on the show. Hey, pony snack time, that's right, we do that, don't we?
Yeah, well, we don't forget.
Yeah, we've been bad about that the last, I don't know, month. Squeezing in those pony snacks at like 10:55 p.m. when everybody, of course, wants to be eating pony snacks.
Of course, but we don't have, you know, the pony genie around to remind us.
Poor pony genie.
Yeah, her doctor called me today. Her doctor called me today, and evidently, you know, genie doctors just don't understand HIPAA laws. Because, I mean, he was going on and on and on about everything. It's like, dear Lord, come on.
He's pony genie's doctor. You think he's going to be short and sweet? What do you think would happen if you called my doctor? Come on.
At least your doctor would be a little bit more, hey, you know, I can't tell you this. No, he's just like blathering all over the place.
Yeah, I forgot about that whole thing.
Hey,
but you know what? I'm sending out the good pony genie vibes that she is going to be feeling much better and will join us next week because we miss her.
We do. You know. I think we need to send out a little bit of pony luck to her. How about that?
Works for me. Go for it.
Okay, here we go.
Pony joy to ya. Get better soon.
We know that was a poor substitute, but hey, at least we tried. Yes, we do actually have an exciting show, and believe it or not, for once, what are we going to do?
Talk about ponies?
Not only that, but we're going to do something else.
Talk about ponies with somebody else besides us?
Well, not only that, but we're actually going to stay on topic.
No, say it isn't so.
Yes. Oh my God, we've actually got a really good topic tonight, and I think everyone is really excited because we actually have yet another interview tonight.
Really? We haven't done that in, like, I don't know, a year.
Okay, so we've been a little slow with the next interview. You know, people just, you know, fall over themselves to interview with us, and, you know, we have to be very selective.
We really got carried away with just talking about ponies, and then we had a few specials in there, and then I think we just kind of forgot, oh, yeah, there are people that we want to get on the show for interviews that actually want to come on the show.
Yeah, that is amazing right there.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I have another interviewee that we're going to be lining up and sometime in the relatively near future, definitely before another year from now, that I think everybody will be super excited to know about, but I'm not telling you tonight.
Shh. The secret.
Are you reading the instant, the secret messages?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'll tell you.
You gotta love us. We're always so secretive, and you don't see, of course, I've been a, ooh. But I gotta keep my mouth shut right now. But on to our topic for tonight. Tonight we are definitely pickled cotton candy pink. Have a special guest to interview tonight. It is Ryan Zitgraff. I hope I said the last name correctly.
I'm betting ponies you didn't. I'm betting ponies that is completely foobered.
Okay, what pony are you betting?
I'm betting cotton candy pink.
Of course you ain't going to bet a real good pony.
And why would I do that?
Right. Well, of course.
Yeah, well, now that I've bet a not very highly valuable pony, I will be right.
Of course.
Way too many of, you know, and then you'll owe me a pony, yet another one.
Dear Lord, yeah, that would not
be. I've got to go see the site here. I know I have his name written down elsewhere, but you know what? That's just too easy to just go to the easy place. So let's look at.
Yeah. But yes, he is the creator and president of the Collect website, and I had the opportunity to meet him at the Pony Fair this year, which was very fun. He was very much willing to come on and talk with us two crazy people on the air.
I feel so sorry for him.
So, are we ready to bring him on?
Let's bring him on down.
Okay, here we go. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, ladies. How are you doing?
It's a boy! Oh my God! It's a boy!
There you go. I'm here, and you know what? It's hard for me to call on if you lost the pony or not, because you're pretty close.
So please pronounce your name for us.
It is Zimtgraf. So you're right there next to it.
Panda, you so lost. You lost.
I don't.
He's just being nice, but you. Freaking, you stomped all over that poor guy's name. But that's okay.
Well, I'm excited to join y'all. Appreciate the invitation. It was great to meet you out at the show. And just excited to be able to maybe answer some questions about what we're doing and share with the community.
Well, just so you know, we have you located now on Pony GPS, so don't even think about cutting out early. You're in for the haul now, buddy.
All righty.
You just gotta love my co-host. You really do.
I just say what everybody else is already thinking. Well, okay, nobody else is thinking about Pony GPS, but she get my point.
I think if we had Pony GPS, I think we'd all be very happy because we'd be honing in on certain ponies and I think everyone would be traveling all over the world.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't get to meet him at the fair this year. I didn't go to the fair. Was very close to going to the fair, but I cheesed out. So, unfortunately, I'm probably like one of the only people that didn't meet him. So I am really looking forward to getting to know him through the interview.
There we go. Because I know he met what we call our special co-host, Genie.
Pony Genie? Of course he met Pony Genie. He probably met Pony Guru, too.
Of course, he did. He did.
He met everybody who's on the show except me.
Well, we'll have to set that up for next year now, won't we?
Yeah, we will. I made a promise to myself and to Kitten that we would go to the fair next year. As long as it's in the continental U.S., we're going.
Yes, we'll box her up and bring her along.
Yeah, they're basically going to hold me to it, that if I decide to cheese out, they're just going to kidnap me and I just won't have a say in the matter. And since they all know where I live and they kind of have to drive by my house anyway, it works out.
wouldn't be so bad if they don't leave you on the leave a pony table at the end, though.
That's an idea, though.
Shh.
I don't think Kevin would be quite. Yeah, we've already trapped her in a box without air holes and fakies, you know.
I've gotten my revenge.
Yeah, that she has. That she has.
I get my annual 2 times a year where I get to take over the world.
Oh, yes. And, of course, she flops miserably each and every time.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, you know, enough about me. This isn't about me tonight. This is about Ryan. So,
yes.
Panda, why don't you get us started?
Okay, sounds good to me. Well, you know, there's plenty of us who do know what about Collect. I mean, for those of us who don't, can you just tell us a little bit about what it is?
Absolutely. Collect is an online inventory system for collectors, trying to give them an online community for managing, cataloging, and valuing their inventory. So, as you know, we launched the site here very recently at the show, and we've launched it initially working with the My Little Pony community, which has been fantastic. And so it allows My Little Pony collectors to be able to go in, catalog and identify their ponies, understand what their value is, and then even understand what they don't have. And for right now, able to even make a wish list of ponies that they're looking for that are on the list of ponies that they don't have.
I got an idea with this car.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Panda. I already broke a card.
Don't mind us. We always just step over each other as we attempt to talk.
It's mostly me.
Yeah. But, yeah, that wish list thing, that would be for me almost every G1 pony.
At least you're eating a Christmas shop for.
No, I think that's what all my shop partners think. Oh, geez, she ain't got this, 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 and this. Oh, my God, I got a plethora to look for.
Yeah, I am the polar opposite of Panda pretty much in every possible way, shape, and form. If you haven't figured that out in the first 5 minutes, it pretty much is across the board. We are definitely like a Laurel Hardy thing going on here. Whereas she is lacking in the G1 world. I have like a whole bunch of G1s. And I'm, like, the super picky collector, and she's the I don't care, I love them all collector. And you know, she's the quiet one, I'm the bossy one. I think you get the rest.
Oh, yeah.
Makes for a good team.
Yeah, it works. Works for me, anyway.
And it works for me, seeing how, you know, during my first show, I came close to saying, you know what, that's it, we're done. And she came to the rescue.
That's true. And, you know, I think really we should probably put a disclaimer like in every show for all these new people. Please remember, the first show is not a good indicator. Just skip to the second show.
But if you want fun to laugh, of course, listen to the first one.
The first show does have its moments, that's for sure. So let's get back to Ryan. Apparently you have gotten used to answering that question because you spit that out like a used car salesman. You've got that down pat. So how long did it take you to actually develop the idea? And I'm not talking about the explanation of what your idea is, but how long was that kind of brewing for you before you were, like, putting it into motion?
Well, the idea behind Collect started about 4 years prior to its launch, and it didn't necessarily start with the idea of ponies in mind. It was for collections and for collectors in general. And it wasn't until we started getting the actual software put together that we needed to have a community that we could work with. And that's when it, because of some introductions that I had through my sister, who's a pretty active collector out there, and she introduced me to Summer and then introduced me to some other collectors, that it really made sense that we were able to see real quickly that it was a great community and that it would allow us to work with a group that would be willing to work with us. And that was really important, to find people that were willing to work with us. And so that's when we knew we were going to do something. We were going to do it with the pony community. That probably happened, that moment happened very close to the beginning of the year, of this year. So about 3 years of working on the idea, starting to work on the software, and then towards the beginning of the year, we knew it was going to be ponies, and then it was just trying to ramp up and get ready for the show.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah, I'm like, how do we respond to that? He answered so many other questions in the course of answering a question. Okay, so what you're saying there, will you be expanding the website to have, like, the other collections, or are you kind of looking at right now that it's going to be basically a My Little Pony collecting site, or is this, like, the testing grounds and you want to expand later into, you know, Star Wars and whatnot?
Well, first, and I've said this to a number of folks when I was out at the show, and I always want to repeat it because it's very important to me. The My Little Pony community is always going to be, you know, they are our first, and that's always a special place. And again, he has been so fantastic. The users, y'all have just been incredible with just telling us what doesn't work and what does work and how we can make it better. And so that's always going to we're always going to make sure that we're loyal to the ones that are helping make us be able to make the site work and get better. As far as expansion, our goal is to have other types of collections, to expand into other different toy lines, both from Mattel and Hasbro, as well as other manufacturers, and also into other types of collectibles, such as baseball cards, not just figurines, you know, as well as, you know, toys and stamps, coins, things along those lines as well.
So this is going to be huge one day.
That's our goal. That's
about awesome. 5 years from now when you get done uploading all the My Little Ponies.
Hey, working on that, trying to get better and faster on that one. There are, as you know, better than I do, quite a few ponies.
A few thousand or so.
Yeah. I think I still have several coworkers that when I tell them how many are in my collection, and they're like, wow, that's a lot. Oh, no. I'm still a newbie, okay? I know people who have, like, over 1,000, and they're still nowhere near completing.
It was really neat. Some of the ladies like that at the show who had thousands of ponies, and they're still working on completing their collection. It is a very big collectible.
Yeah, I have over 900 myself, and I'm selective. And I, as far as, you know, I don't want to have them all. But there's still probably another 100 ponies I want to put on in there. You know, so, but that's, you know, maybe half of what's out there, if not less. I mean, easily probably 3,000 ponies out there.
Well, what
individually speaking.
Right. What we did is we started off for the show just doing the G1 line because, again, that's the first grouping. That's that first 10 years that were put out and that a lot of collectors do focus on. And that makes up, I forget the exact number, but it's just over 500 ponies just in that grouping. And that's
right, and that's not even complete. That's not even a complete G1 U.S. mail order. As far as I could tell when I was going through it myself, I don't think it was all the way complete.
We didn't have the mail orders at the show. We just had the mainline ponies. We added the mail orders and the playset ones after the show. Since then, we've started adding the G3 lines. We've gotten 2003 and 2004 added, and we're working on getting the subsequent years brought online. So we'll keep adding those. There's a lot of interest for some of the European ponies.
Oh, yeah, the international ponies
in
general, European, South American, Australian, it goes on and on. You have to get those on. I am biting at the bit waiting for all the internationals to get loaded up.
Absolutely.
I think that will be.
I used the pony thing. Did you catch that? I didn't even realize I did it. I said biting at the bit. Can you believe I said that?
You know, I don't know that I can think of which pony actually has a bridle.
Sundance, hello.
Let's
get with the program.
See.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I have to say that now that you say that, it sparked it. Not as quick there.
But yes, I think once we get the internationals up, because I don't really think there's even any type of organized inventory guide for internationals. Not even, one that you can print out.
They are a little bit more challenging.
I do know that there is the book that Deborah Burge did for Ponies Around the World, which at the time was a pretty complete listing of what we knew to be internationally available a few years ago. And I do believe Summer is working on something. But there is something out there. It's just not 100% updated.
Right. And there was a number of collectors at the show that were very willing to kind of share some information with us, with me, and who are specialized in those particular verticals or those niches of the collection, and have very expansive and extensive collections. So being able to participate with them and get input as to what is out there is just invaluable.
Oh, yeah, and that's the one good thing about our community. We are very much open to saying, hey, if you don't know it, if one of us does, here's the information.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that we I've definitely seen firsthand. It's been, like I said, it's been really, really great. It's been very helpful.
I think the pony community in general, compared to a lot of other collecting communities, and unfortunately you're going to find this out one day, is a little bit more approachable, a little less catty than some of the other communities. Not to say we don't have our things going on, but from what I've heard from other people that frequent other collecting communities, we are much more open, we are much more welcoming, we are a little less competitive and in that regard. Sometimes I wonder if that isn't why Hasbro also is so willing to come on and get our opinions on things, get our advice when they're bringing out new lines, and stay actively involved with us as well, is that we're just not a bunch of biddies.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. The, I know one of the discussions we had when I was at the show was, as far as, and I got asked this quite a bit because I quickly identified that I was the only booth that had only a guy at it. And that jumped out at me pretty quickly. So, of course, I got asked about my pony collection quite a bit. And I am actually a stamp collector. And that community, although I do have...
A what collector? I'm sorry.
Stamp.
Stamp?
Yes.
Stamp.
Isn't there a really technical name for that?
Philately.
That's the one.
I like stamp better. It's easier.
It is.
It's more easily identifiable.
Easier to spell, too.
Yeah.
The
But your sister is the pony collector. Is she on the boards? Is she part of, the raving pony community at large?
She is. Her user ID is Snipez.
I'm sorry. Say it one more time.
Snipez.
Amy, do you understand that?
I think he said Snipez.
Yes.
Snipez. S-Y-N-F-E-Z.
Yes.
All right. Everybody out there, just in case you didn't catch that name, give me an S. Give me an N. Give me a Y. Give me an F. Give me an E. Give me a Z. What do you got?
Snipez.
Woo. Right on. She's famous. Actually, I recognize that name because it's one of those names that you have to look at a few times to figure out how to say.
Exactly.
People know me because I've got a cat that's got bugged out eyes, and people know Snipez because of just who thought to put all those letters together. Can I use it in Scrabble?
There you go. Between her and then, of course, I've got a daughter who has a My Little Pony collection thanks to her aunt, who every year makes sure that she gets loaded with some new ponies. and she's been grooming her as a young collector as well. And so I had to make sure that, you know, I didn't feel that it was right that I would be at the show and not be able to say that I at least have a pony collection of one right now. So.
Oh, no, no, no. You can't say that. You can't say that.
It's just a very small collection.
What is your pony collection of one?
Well, I made sure that I didn't leave there without one of the 2010 show ponies.
It's not a bad start. You started off your collection with a collectible. That works.
Oh, yeah. I think, didn't you win one of the raffles?
You know, those actually ended up going to my daughter.
You got home and she saw them. She went ponies and that was it. They were gone.
She was quite certain that I had brought them home for her.
Of course you did. That's your job.
She's my little girl, so she won.
Do you mind if I ask how old she is?
She just turned 13.
Oh, sweet. See, now Kitten just turned 14, so there is a... when you talk about a little girl, you know, I'm thinking my little girl who's 14, but I'm going, oh, he might be talking like real little girl. But, hey, that's pretty cool. We got two little teenagers there of similar age. So I fully understand the idea of whatever you think is yours actually being theirs. They will snatch it out of your hands. And they're big enough to fight you for it.
Yeah, she's already starting to think that the cards might be hers. But just, you know, that's another year or so away.
Yeah, you know, when you start them off young, they start thinking, ooh, that's my collection, too.
There you go.
Yeah, well, at least it's a girl. See, now, since I have a girl, and I am a girl, she is now considering my closet hers and everything in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, your site basically had the big unveiling at the convention this year. I mean, how do you think that went?
So we literally turned the site on 2 days prior to the show. And we had been working on it in a development environment prior to that. And so we brought it live, and I flew out there, and it really, I was unsure how it was going to go. I was, to be honest, I was a little nervous, and because I only knew a small group of people in the community at that point, and they were all really fantastic. So I was just kind of unsure, was that everybody, or was that just this group of people? And so, again, not to sound like I'm laying it on or anything, but really, everybody was just really, really cool when I got there and was set up. People were real quick to come up and ask. Now, not at the very first hour, because, of course, you got to make your runs for the trades, and I get that. But after that took place, everybody would come by. They'd ask about, you know, what we were doing, what was collect about, what was the site about. And we had the site ended up with about 70 or so people that had actually signed into the site while I was there at the show. So that was really, really fantastic. That was beyond actually what I was expecting. I was very happy with that.
I think you were probably expecting maybe about 20 people in the room. No, you just see the doors open, you see this herd of people coming.
Well, Summer had shared with me what the registrations looked like, so I knew there was going to be a good turnout. I just didn't know how well accepted and again, receptive everybody was going to be. And what was really neat is not only were people, engaging and coming by and talking with me, I had people that came by on Saturday, saw the site, signed up, went and used it that night, started cataloging their ponies that night, came back the next day and started giving ideas of, hey, you know, could you change this, or this part worked a little funny, or, hey, this part really, really liked. And so, I got a couple of pages of notes of just great feedback from people, and we turned that into a lot of the improvements that we've been, you know, constantly throwing out there for everybody.
Oh, wow, that is good. Well, but since then, how has the site traffic been since
Site traffic's been really good. I noticed Mondays are real popular in the pony world.
We're back at work. We need something to do.
Exactly. Weekends are good. Mondays are real good. A lot of people like to check their inventories on Mondays, which is good.
So you have a way of tracking when people are just checking inventory, like when they log in to check, or is it more when changes are made to their inventory?
No, it's just the statistics on the web traffic as far as on our server, just as far as the volume.
Oh, I see.
Amount of unique users that are coming in. And,
well, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty basic stuff that Google has a lot of just site tools that they have out there that allow you to just kind of see. Like one of the things that was really amazing to myself and everybody else was we started seeing people from other countries that had found out about Klett because I know I met with and talked with one lady from Australia who was there at the show, and next thing you know, we had 5 people registered out of Australia into the site. She went back and told some of her friends, apparently. And
it's a giant Breck shampoo commercial. And they told us, and so on.
You know, it really to a certain degree, and that is kind of that is part of the idea is that it is a community, embraced idea. We put out so that it can help the community, and really the idea is that if it helps the community, obviously, we want them to know about it, and rather than trying to sell people on it, instead of doing that, it's intended to be, if we're doing a good job, we just hope that people will tell their friends in the community that, hey, here's a good tool, and that it adds value. Back to your earlier question about the traffic, we started off, we had about 70 people after the weekend there at the show. That was as of that Sunday night, so some people even were registering in during the day and the evening Sunday. As of yesterday, I looked up our stats, we were at about 360 users. So we've had some really nice growth out of it. And hopefully once we can get caught up on the G3s, that'll help out a lot of the collectors because I know that we had some postings for the when we first started getting the G3s on, but of course it was like, hey, you've gotten a couple years, you're going to get the rest of them, and we are. It's a process for us.
Hey, Panda.
Oh, yes, and there's Pinkie Pies, you know.
Panda.
Yeah. Yes.
I think I have some sort of, competition going on for, talking here. What's up? I was worried that we were going to really have to prod him for information, and now it's like, jeez, I don't think we're going to have a hard time getting a conversation going here. If anything, I'm going to be, battling for a word in edgewise, and I'm just not used to that.
Yeah, I'm the one who's used to, going, hey, can I please, I'm the host here. Can I talk?
I feel like a rooster. I got to come show my colors and stake out my territory. Wait a minute, buddy, you're on my show.
Understood.
I really do appreciate how informative and descriptive you are. I like that you do kind of intuitively know where we're going with some of these questions so we don't have to ask the 20 questions of, okay, could you expound on that? So it does make our job a little easier. Only one other thing I want to know about the convention that you really hadn't mentioned was if you had gotten a chance to actually speak to any of the Hasbro reps and get any feedback from them, or was it hide in the corner and not let them know we're doing this?
No, absolutely talked with them, got some great, shared some contact information, and they were like, hey, it looks kind of cool what you're doing. And since then, I've been exchanging a lot of traffic with them. We are going to be getting the G4 images from them. They're going to supply those to our site.
Oh, so you've got Hasbro on board. That's really going to be helpful.
Yeah.
Especially if you start going into other Hasbro collections in the future, you will already have built that rapport.
Right.
There you go.
And hopefully, again, if we're able to make sure that as those new items are coming out, that the, you know, there's always going to be collectors that are just going to focus maybe on the G1 line or just the you know, certain groups or whatever. But for the collectors that are really enjoying the entire line of My Little Ponies, having those new ones in there are going to be just as important. And so being able to have access to that from them was really, really, really fantastic. They would share that with us.
Speaking of the G there, you know, you mentioned G1s, you mentioned G3s, you're mentioning G4s, but I don't think they deserve to be called G4s just yet, because we don't even know if they're going to last long enough to have their own designation. They might be like the big bobbleheads that, you know, last 3 months and then move on. But, you know, with high hopes, they'll be the G4s. However, I noticed you jumped right over the G2s. What made you decide to do that?
Did I? No, that is, we are going to be adding the G2s. The reason they're not, the reason we went from G1s to G3s was very, very intentional. Not because the G2s
Nobody
aren't...
likes G2s, that's why. No, just kidding.
What? Hey, they're cute in their own right.
Yeah, I have some. I'm just, you know, come on. We all hated them for years. Years and years. They're like a fungus. They grow on you, and then you like them. But intentional. Please tell us the intentional reason.
Well, one of the supporters, one of the people we've been working with is Summer Hayes, and she just put out her G2 book, and we really want to make sure that she, you know, we want to make sure that she has the traction on her book, and that this isn't kind of competing with that too much, and so kind of just as out of respect to make sure that
Double all.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww. That's so sweet.
You know, that'll have some runtime, and then at that point we'll bring the G2s on. And again, there are some collectors that aren't a big fan of the G2s, and so nobody seemed really heartburned about the fact that we jumped over to the G3s first, and you know, we'll see if G4 sticks. I've heard there's been a lot of debate. I've heard, and we're just running with that name for now.
Right. See, I'm on the other side of the house, that everybody prematurely started calling some of the big bobbleheads G4s, and I was like, no, they're G3.5s. Let's not go there. And now I feel bad for them. I feel bad because their G4 generation has died out, and now they have to readjust their paradigm. And what have they done? They've jumped onto another G4 boat. And I'm just saying, you know, it's a little premature, guys. A little premature.
So
I have no problem. If this line is still continuing a year from now and, you know, it's really got its own life, then I am fully for the G4 idea. But I do have issue with, I'm just being one of them old stogies. I don't want to call them G4s yet. I'm not ready. I'm just not ready.
So would they be G3.75?
No, I just call them Hub Ponies because right now they're affiliated with the cartoon on the Hub Channel. So I just call them the Hub Ponies.
That's my thing, though.
That's all me, and I only have a handful of supporters. So this is part of my ulterior motives to say Hub Ponies, yes, G4, boo.
Which I would like to repeat that we did announce when that show will be coming on first. I would like to repeat that. Sorry.
Yeah, isn't that coming up very, very soon, the pony show? I saw somebody say they got their DVR set, but I didn't click to see when the actual launch time, date, channel, whatever is.
Well, I'm happy that we already know what the date will be, so then we know when the new launch. It's 10-10 of 2010.
2010, so I have to actually go look this up and actually record it. I am actually excited about it. Sorry, Ryan, not to you know, sidestep you for a moment here, but I am super excited about the show coming out because I absolutely love the people behind it. So I have very high hopes that this is going to really take off in a pleasant way, even for people that maybe aren't thrilled with the way the ponies look. I think it's still going to be something that they'll be able to enjoy, even if they don't want the actual pony. So I think it's going to breathe some life into our community. And thank God that Core 7 are gone. Ugh! I'd take dressed-up mushrooms at this point.
I think Hasbro was playing around with that line.
Yeah, they were. I saw that, but I think they had problems with the keepability there, you know, perishability. Fungus, when they get funky, are just even really worse than fungus. It's like, isn't that like a, I don't know if you call it like a oxymoron or something, that it's just not right. So we already have been talking about this huge undertaking that is cataloging the My Little Pony lineup. I mean, you're going to be doing this for quite a while. Do you have any helpers with the data entry stuff, or are you just like a one-man show right now?
Oh, yeah, no. That would be quite a daunting task if I were trying to do that on my own, and I don't think I'd be the right guy for the job, to be honest, because you have to have people that are in the community that know it, and people like Summer and like my sister and folks like that know the information a lot better and can, you know, make sure that we have it right. One of the things that's important is to by putting up the inventory the way we do, it means that everybody ends up calling the pony by the right name and the right way. One of the things that was kind of fun for me, at least, was at the show seeing the contest on how well you know your pony. And a lot of the questions were on just the capitalization and whether there was a hyphen in a name or not, and because there is a right way. And again, that's kind of one of the things we want to make sure that it's done that way, that it's got that right. So we are, you know, I work with a number of folks that are in the community, and I've reached out. We've had some postings out on a couple of boards, and we've had questions. And again, everybody's fantastic about just, I mean, you get a response almost before you hit enter.
Hey, speaking of that, this is very, and I'm totally jumping on Panda here. I know we try to keep the question asking somewhat equal, unless I get a hair. And this is one of those things. This is my hair. Whenever I'm using it, you go to the condition category, and there is no near mint category. That is like a major classification in the pony world. I'm hoping that you have some plans to maybe put at least that near mint category in, if not an additional. Right now the range you have for condition is kind of narrow for the pony, general pony collector.
Yeah. We have seven conditions. Two of them are the still in package condition, one being the mint and one being a near mint or still in package. And then four conditions of used, if you will, from, you know, the really pristine. And then we have a bait category. And we sampled that out, and we're still playing with it to see and take feedback.
I did not see a near mint when I was in there. I'd have to go into the collect again, because that was one of the most frustrating things when I was doing my own inventory. Was I really, really wanted that near mint. It wasn't good, and it wasn't, it's better than good, and it's not mint. It's near mint. It's a very specific designation, even if you're just talking about using the kind of lingo that's in the community. I think everybody just kind of looks for that specific wording.
Very good feedback. It's one of those things that, honestly, we're available to make those changes, and what our next steps would be. We need to probably post that out just to really get a good cross section of.
Ah, here we go.
Yeah.
You have seven, but here's where you have it. You have opened fair, good, and mint. You skip right over near mint because there is a huge jump between good and mint, even in the opened category. For the collector, there are people that will not touch anything that's good or below, such as me. Whereas there really is an entire realm of near mint that is so far. I mean, the collector actually goes good, excellent, near mint. But, you know, we'll understand that you can't take all those jumps. But value-wise, there can be a huge difference as well between a good and a near mint. And when you're talking about some of those rare ponies, you could be talking hundreds of dollars. So, yes, that is my big okay. Would really love to see that happen because it's very frustrating. When my entire collection is near mint to mint and I'm not seeing a near mint option, I'm going, ah!
Touché. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, I feel so much better now. Whew. Okay, you want to... One last thing about that, I think as far as tying it in to get that little segment of questions, is the value. Obviously, that's going to have a direct input on value input that you have to assign for each pony for each condition. And here I am asking for a whole nother designation. So, first of all, you know, how do you kind of come about with those values? You have to have something to base the values on, and that seems like that'd be an awful lot of data recovery or, you know, a lot of research. So how did you come about? And I know some of those inputs, those values are a little wonky right now, but for the most part, you're making a pretty good attempt at it. And where are you getting that from?
Well, and as all of you can, I'm sure everybody can agree with and respect, is you're never going to probably get everybody that's going to agree on the exact same value for the exact same thing all the time. So we are, as you said, trying to get as good a number as we can for right now. All the values have been given to us through members, through some of I call them the experts, that have been willing to work with us and do reviews on the value structure and what those prices are. Some of that is from, you know, folks like Summer, who obviously she's got a lot of depth of knowledge. Some other users that have, you know, are very active in, you know, some of the buying and selling side. And we just kind of tried to take some averages within there. Is it perfect? You know, I don't know if you could ever have perfect. So we are trying to do it as well as we can.
Yeah. Especially in the current economy. The economy kind of threw all collections into a loop for values. And I think the pony community is still kind of trying to leverage some of that out.
And it kind of works out that if we may have a pony that's listed at $5, let's say. And you know what? You might have seen that pony at the show in that same condition for $3. So, you know, you could argue, well, then, you know, you've got the wrong value on the site.
Well, I don't think anybody's concerned about those. I think they're more concerned with the ones that maybe are listed at 40 that are worth 10 or vice versa. When you're talking about the larger jumps, nobody's going to quibble over a couple bucks, unless it's a trade.
Yeah, it's a percentage at that point. You know, our percentages stay pretty consistent. It's just obviously, like you said, at the bigger dollars, it stands out a lot more. And, you know, that's one of the things. We've got some stuff upcoming, and it's going to feed into a little bit more dynamic nature in the value. So hopefully that'll help in the future.
See, this is why I talk so much, because Panda's not real good on timing out those few seconds.
And, you know, I always figure you're going to jump in.
See, I don't like there to be too much dead air, so I always try to give Panda that opportunity, and she's not always real good on catching that. So this is the dead silence just for you, hon.
Hey, we try. Yeah, I was just, you know, checking out
you're a duality now? There's more than one of you?
There's always more than one of me. That's why I tell my coworkers I'm going to the movies this weekend. Who are you going with? Me, myself, and I. All three of us are going.
She's expensive to take to the movies, then.
No kidding. Get the student discount or something.
Well, you know, one of us, you know, gets the child's discount. The other one gets
their dependent rate
discount. Either that or I just sneak the other two in. One of the two.
All right, we need to change topic before my mind goes way off ponies here.
Well, you know, we do have a request that, you know, we do our weekly trip. Boy, that was just so an opening for you.
To me? The weekly trip?
Yes, you get to go. Oh, I am so sorry. I was zoning. I was doing something completely else. We have a special treat for you. We have certain things here at the My Little Pony Talk Show that we do every week that our listeners have come to expect and demand of us. And this is one of those joys. We're about to take a trip to the Pony Room.
Yes. Little Alley Cat does have an entire room devoted to ponies.
Awesome.
Pictures, original artwork from the original designers, mint package, and all the generations, and special shelving in all countries around the world, amounting to nearly 1,000 ponies of good minty goodness. Did I say mint? I said mint. They're near mint. They're mint. There's 5 that are not mint, but I'm letting them stay. So, take me there.
Okay, here we go.
I'm halfway up the stairs. What are you doing, woman? Don't do that to me. Don't mess up my groove. All right, if you do that again, I'm going to climb through the phone and strangle you. We already have sound issues with the volume.
Hey, I turned it down so that we can still hear you huffing and puffing up the stairs.
You're wrecking this for Ryan. How's he going to get a true feel for what's going on here?
I think he is getting a true feel. So
I'm supposed to run upstairs to the Sea Pony song, and she keeps cutting me off. I'm like 3/4 of the way up the stairs. I got to stop. It's like playing musical chairs. The music stops, I have to stop.
But I think everyone's expected that now.
Can I please get to the pony room?
Okay, here you go.
It'll have to do. Okay, are we ready?
Yes, we are.
All together now. We're sniffing in the pony scent, Ryan. Extra sniff for the newcomer. This is a very distinct thing. I don't know if you had the pleasure of when you were at the convention, that it was probably a distinct smell within the convention room itself, but ponies really do have their own special smell, and the mintier they are, the more they smell. So my pony room, like, the smell wafts down the stairs. Must Be Jewel came by, and she said she could smell the pony room downstairs. And I keep the door closed to keep the freshness in. My whole room is mint and box.
Whereas me, I simply have one pony that I happen to get very lucky, and I opened it up, and I just took a whiff, and it was like, oh, my God, I'm about to get high.
Yeah, so I am. I'm a little tipsy with the pony fumes right now because I am in the pony room, enjoying. This is like my zen. This is my place. This is the oneness and the everything and the nothingness. It's all the same, and it's beautiful.
I can understand. I have actually been in such a room.
Oh, have you? Whose room have you been in?
That would be my sister. She has a. I had to build the shelves for her to help her out, and. It is an entire room of ponies.
So you understand.
Pony room is an impressive thing. It's not to be trifled.
Oh no.
And they're very special too. I mean, most pony rooms, from what I can tell, one of the interesting things that you will see missing in a pony room is technology. You don't have a whole bunch of modern trappings. Walking into a pony room is almost like walking into a little sanctuary because there's not tons and tons of bells and whistles. You know, they're just this, they're pure in their own right. And so every pony room you go into is going to have a certain very calming atmosphere. I've never had anybody walk into a pony room and not like it.
Of course, the lack of technology could be. Sorry?
I said, go ahead. For all the eyeballs.
Stop cutting the poor man off.
The eyeball can be disturbing, but, you know, the lack
of
technology.
Oh, the eyeball. You know, I've never thought of that. I mean, that is so weird that you say that. I've had a pony room for I don't know how many years, and not once did I ever come in and feel like I had 1,000 eyes staring at me, or 2,000 eyes, actually, if you count double. Oh, my gosh. Never. It never occurred to me. I don't know why, but, I mean, I just don't walk in and feel like I have all these eyes staring at me. You see what you've done?
You've ruined it, Bert, but, you know, the technology thing could all be...
Don't turn your ponies around. That's not any better.
You know, I have a shelf that I tried that with a few where I want you to be able to see their symbols well. And I feel like they're all just, you know, like telling me something. You got to be very careful when you position them that way.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But back to the technology thing, I think also the other thing is if you have a lot of G3s in that room, yeah. No, technology is not going to work.
Technology in there.
No, I seriously
wonder what's happening to the electrical equipment on my neighbor's wall that like is up against. I got a whole wall of G3 special shelving just for the G3, and I'm telling you, that guy has probably been wondering why his computer hasn't worked right in the last 3 years.
It's because you moved in.
That's the beauty of a townhome, let me tell you, you know. It is. I often wonder sometimes just about, like, wow, just having that much magnetic force in one place has got to do something. Seriously. I'm going to have, like, aliens come zap me up from the sky, or, you know, have I done something to my brain chemistry? What's going on here? Global warming is my fault because I've thrown the Earth off its axis.
Yes, you gotta love the eyeball off the wall, anything goes, that we say.
No.
Oh, that's right. We're doing an interview. That's right. Okay. So we actually have to talk to somebody else besides us. Every once in a while, I forget that.
No.
Yes,
I hope you're enjoying yourself because we've already decided that we just kidnapped you for the rest of the show. But you don't seem to be short of on words, so I don't think you mind too much.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Great. Yes. It's going to be our first show interview. Usually after about, I don't know, 45 minutes, the interviewees are like, I'm good. You good? I'm good. They tuck her out. They don't have that stamina. It must be because he's a man. That's what it is.
There we go.
He works out.
Yes, and he isn't trying to use that strength or that stamina to run away from us.
And he also has something to advertise as well. Although, to be fair, so did the other people. You know what? Next time next person we're interviewing, we're tying them down. We're going to be like, okay, this is the standard. Ryan's interview was the standard. You have to meet that standard.
I think that sounds
good. Well, I've still got that strap-down chair with the Velcro that we got when we did the interview with Must Be Jewel that we just haven't pulled out. I think it's...
That's right. That's right. We do have that chair. I heard the penitentiary wants it back, though.
Yeah. I told him I'd give it back eventually. Pinkie Pie's been holding them off.
Don't get me going on Pinkie Pie. Spike has got all kinds of things he's trying to tell me, and I just told him the world is not ready to know. Let's just say Pinkie Pie has been removed from power, and we're just going to leave it there. We don't want to know the details.
Yeah, and of course we don't want to put him out on the air because, you know, then everyone would know the secret.
So, Panda, let's actually go back to the interview because I bet people actually want to hear from Ryan again because they hear from us every week. And they definitely hear from me all the time.
Yes. We know that your site is basically free to use, but we have read a linked article that you do have a premium membership option planned. Can we get a little bit of details on that?
Absolutely, absolutely. So hopefully you've also noticed that the site's not cluttered up with a lot of advertising. A lot of just sites that you go out and see in the world have a lot of that. And we really, I know myself, if I'm going to look at my collection, I want to look at my collection. So that is an intentional thing that we've done in the design of the site. And everything from the ability to put your inventory in to be able to understand the count. We just added, I hope you all have noticed, we just added the total number of ponies you have in your collection. One of the users sent a comment in saying, hey, you can tell me the value. Why can't you tell me how many? And we went, yeah, why not? So we added that. That's a lot of but that and the ability then to just also recently through had the update with what you don't have and the ability to filter even off of what you don't have and then make the wish list, as you know. All of that, all of those service, all of that functionality is free, and it's going to stay free. We have no intent of changing what that is.
Before you go on, let me get one point clarified there, because again, from using the site myself and wanting to see if I'm using it correctly,
sure.
You said something about filtering what you have or don't have. Like if I went in right now and I wanted to add to my collection, let's say I want to add butterscotch, but I can't remember if I already have butterscotch listed in my collection. Is it going to automatically flag? Like, is there a way to tell if you've already added? Because it is an up-and-coming site and you're constantly adding new ponies, sometimes you're not always going to be aware, hey, last time I was here were these ponies that were available to add to my collection. I can't remember if I added it. And right now when I go into the site, it doesn't, like, when you look at that page that shows you all the images of the ponies, it doesn't show if I've already added that particular pony. When I'm at the add to my collection page, certainly if I go to my collection page, it's going to list everything. But like I went to there, I'm like, I don't know if I added this.
Well, at your point, you have a lot of original ponies, right? A lot of the G1s. And
yeah.
I think you mentioned earlier that you've got a lot of some of those ponies. So you, very good point. Maybe you put four of the five that you have in there, and now you're coming back in to add that fifth, but you don't know if you put it in already or not. That,
well, that's something even if one pony in itself even,
sure.
Like you're adding in your G3s right now, and I just can't tell, oh, did I add this one yet? I don't know.
We're playing around with basically a superimposed number that would be displayed in the ad.
That would be awesome.
And we're working on something with that.
And that would that be something that falls into a premium, or would that be something that would fall into the free membership?
Anything that's going into you being able to build your collection, we want you to have those tools, and we want you to be able to, you know, to have those available for with no charge and no strain. For the premium service, the premium service account is a optional item that's going to be offered. We're going to start the beginning of it here later this month in October is our goal. We're still working on some of the code and doing some of our testing. And once we know that everything's good, we'll move that into our production environment and get it out there and share it with y'all. The things that will be in that will be the ability to have some other data management tools to where if you're a type of user that really likes to crunch the numbers on your collection, we're going to put some other tools in place to give you that fun. But probably the biggest thing that I just had so many people lining up asking me about the most of anything when they heard about it at the show even, and you know, quite a few emails, has been the ability to actually have a pony posted out for sale. And the way the system works, if you are just a regular user, as you are today, you'll be able to see what is for sale. And, you know, somebody's posted one of their ponies out for sale. If you are a premium member, you can actually then select things out of your inventory and it'll post them out for sale. Not only will it post them, but with anybody that has a wish list item, and they may have that item as part of their wish list, it'll send them an email alert to let them know that that's come up for sale. So the idea is to try to help within a community tighten in the communication so that you can be more in tune when things are coming available. So if you're really looking for something because it's on your wish list, so it's, you know, obviously one of the more sought-after things, when that item comes up and becomes available, either for sale or for trade, because that's after we do the first part, the second part will be also allowing trade matching. So if something like that comes available, you're going to want, you know, you want to know about it and so that you can act on it or at least make a decision if you want to act on it.
It sounds like a really interesting system that you want to set up, but I'm hoping that the fee that I saw mentioned in the article that you, the press article that you had put out, I'm hoping that was a misprint or a fee that's being reconsidered because it seemed a little high for a monthly fee.
Well, you know, I could. It depends on what you're looking for, obviously. And when the fee that we've got out there right now that we've been working with is $8 a month, and that's the fee that was in the article. And hopefully that's the one you read as well, right?
Right, that is the one. And you know, there are quite a few, you know, like you were saying, there are ponies that are $8 or $4. And every month, you know, certain people working on a certain pony budget or whatever, but $8 a month, that adds up. And
true.
Yeah, there are games out there you can play for $10 a month, you know, 24/7. So really, I think there's got to be a way to either justify a fee that is comparable to buying a game, or is there like, you know, a way to reconsider, like, you know, discounts for, you know, an annual payment or other things that are going to maybe make that price a little bit more reasonable for cheapskates like me.
Not a problem. So first off, by 6 months and 12 month and 6 month and 12 month increments, there's actually going to be discounts available for, you know, buying in bulk, if you will. The other thing is when we first are launching this out, we're going to do some stuff to put out some free time for people to be able to have the user feedback, to allow people to use it and give us some feedback and tell us how it's working. One of the things though to consider is, and this is really something that I think Bear is mentioning, what does it cost you to post a $10 pony on eBay?
I don't post on eBay. I go to the arena or the TP and do it for free.
Fair enough.
Okay, I'll host this question because I have sold ponies on eBay.
Evil Bank.
And between the listing fee, the final selling fee, the PayPal fee.
Oh, yeah, I have done it. I have done it, but there are reasons that I do it on the arena and the TP, and that is a big part of it, all those fees, but more so it's some of the other baloney that can go along with doing it on eBay. I mean, it's more than just the fees. If it were just the fees, that wouldn't be a problem. At the end of the day. But also it depends on how much you're selling. Now, somebody like me that might only have a couple ponies a month to put up on the line, again, you're looking at what's going to be better. There are certainly people in our community that are selling way, way, way more, where it's even their livelihood that would certainly benefit from that. But for you, from a marketing standpoint, I'm thinking, how are you going to get the revenue for a smaller portion of the pony community that is selling that much where that fee makes sense to them?
Right. There is, you know, obviously with the way we're structuring it, you're looking at about 50 cents on as far as your clicks would be. Being able to have that run for a much longer period of time, in fact, it could just run for the whole year if you wanted to. If you had something that looked more rare, for instance, it's not designed to be a eBay. It's literally designed to help you connect with other collectors. Because, again, when you put that out there for sale, it's not just going to put it out on some just general listing, albeit there is that there, but it's going to help other collectors know that you exist. And what
it's going to go directly to the people that need it, as opposed to just putting it out there. Like, for me, there are times I might not even check eBay for 2 or 3 months, only to come on and go, Oh, I can't believe I missed that. But I actually stopped looking at eBay, and then the one thing I've been looking for has come up and gone. So I guess you're saying one of the benefits of this is it's always going to be there. And if it's on my wish list, I'm always going to find out about it. And you're automatically going to get that link up.
Yeah, if it's on your wish list, you're going to get an email alert to let you know that it's come out. If it's not on your wish list, but if it's something that's not in your collection, so you may not have flagged it as something you're looking for, then it's going to be part of your view when you go into the marketplace. It's part of your dashboard to let you know, here's all the things that have been posted out there that are currently for sale that you don't have.
I like that distinction. I think that's smart.
Yeah. So, you know, that is an aspect of it. The other aspect will be the trade matching, which I believe one of the I want to say Ashlyn, had the big display with the big stuffed ponies.
Oh, yes.
We had a few
yes.
people with stuffed ponies. We had.
No, this was a normal one.
No, this is at the fair.
At the fair.
Yes,
the one with the giant ponies?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
standing tall.
What she called what we were doing was kind of eHarmony for ponies with the trade matching.
I was not at the fair, so I'm not sure which one you're talking about. I did see lots of pictures, but Panda would be the one that would be able to verify what you're saying.
I'm trying to remember that part.
Are we talking? I did see a picture of one that had, like, the 3-foot-tall plushies all sitting around inside. Were you referring to that, or are you referring to more regular-sized plushie stall?
No, these were the 3-foot-tall ones from Australia.
Okay.
I think it was her that actually had called. So the trade matching, again, finds ponies that you're willing to have out there for trade, and then it cross-matches you with all the other users automatically without you having to do anything of what is available that you don't have and is available for trade against something that you have of similar value.
So I'm going to get that nightlight for my lemon drop, huh?
Possibly. Depends on what you have for trade. And so if that
noob doesn't know what a lemon drop on a nightlight is.
Oh,
I so busted him.
Little alley cat. I'm sorry.
I can't help it. It was a free shot.
Aw, come on, lady. Now, I know
the
there's a lemon drop. Is there not a nightlight? Is that what I'm missing?
No. What it is lemon drop is probably about the most common inexpensive pony, and nightlight is a very... She's not totally rare, but she's always over $100, and everybody wants her.
Oh, yes.
I
she's a high demand. She's like Mimic, but she's from another country, whereas everybody, and she's one of the banes of my existence as well. But she's just one of those ponies. Everybody wants to get her, and she just has retained her value through the years very consistently, as has Lemon Drop, been about $2 since the beginning of time.
Well, there you go. I guess if I thought about it, I did see a bunch of lemon drops without heads, tails, or all intact left on the trade table because somebody, I think I recognized that one.
Yeah, it was either lemon drop or it was cotton candy or peachy. There's like three that share the dubious honor.
Well, so you might not get that trade. Obviously, what we'll send you an alert on or send you an update on in your dashboard will be that there's a comparable pony trade that is available for you to make. And if you and that other collector want to make that trade, then you guys can, you know, we push out the data for your mailing labels to each other, and then you guys do the trade then through the mail. And when you actually receive on both ends, we will put your ponies in a pending status in the system. So when you receive yours and they receive theirs, you both will commit that in and say that you've received it. It'll move the inventory for you, so it'll put it in your collection for you. And then it'll also give you an opportunity to put feedback as far as the trade rating on that other collector. So you can say, yeah, you know, they gave me exactly what they said they were going to give me. And they did
so
it in a
that, that definitely leaves you open to the whole accountability thing as far as, you know, what happens when somebody doesn't hold up their end of the bargain?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, and it's one that, you know, of course needs to be asked, and it's something that when you look at what happens when you do a transaction on eBay or when you do a transaction on a forum or when you, you know, anywhere else, there's always that risk. What I really believe within any collector community, and especially, you know, really tight-knit ones like the pony community, you've got a lot less of that because of the fact that it is a community. And you do know each other through user IDs on forums and from shows. And so there's kind of a family atmosphere to a certain extent, not to say that there aren't people that, you know.
We have new people coming in all the time, though. And when you're talking about the boards, and different boards will handle it different ways as far as, for instance, it's not uncommon if you've got a brand new collector who hasn't done any trades, who hasn't really gotten any kind of name at all.
They'll have a really low trade rating.
Well, what happens is, but in the pony community, they might do something like, okay, well, we want to set up this trade, but you need to send your end first. I need to receive it before I send anything out in return, which isn't typically how a trade would work. Typically, a trade is, you know, we're shipping on Monday. You give me a, you know, delivery confirmation. But, you know, there might be different ways of approaching it where you're dealing with somebody who's very new to the community. And things like that have been handled internally, you know, within the different boards that like to use that. Or, obviously, with eBay, you have, you know, the PayPal and dispute functions and everything else in there that I don't think, even if you get
have
a crummy deal.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever used
it. Oh, I've used it. I've used it quite successfully.
Oh yeah, me too.
And so it is something at least as far as a buyer or whatever, you do have that in the back of your mind that, well, if this is really bad, I do have this emergency recourse. But usually, also because of the feedback system and other things that kind of reinforce the buyers to want to work with you. Now, it's not something to take advantage of, but certainly, you know, hey, this pony has no tail. You know, the buyer is either going to refund your money or want to give you a discount or is more inclined to do that because of the nature of the feedback system and the credit card stuff, the PayPal protection. You're kind of stepping outside of that just a little bit, where if you get somebody that's brand new at your place, the deals, the kinds of history might not always be available. Obviously, if it's somebody who's been in business forever, and everybody knows, but, you know, still, even with the amount of large people that we have in our community, I don't know absolutely everybody, and I've been around for, like, 13 years now, and I still don't know everybody. Every time I turn around, there's new people or people I'm like, wow, they've been around for 5 years, really? So it's surprising how hard it is to keep track of all that.
Yeah, you're going to rely on, so if, for instance, with somebody who puts an item up for sale, they're going to, when they go to actually post it, one of the things that they have as a premium service member is the ability to upload custom images of their item. And so they're going to be able to actually provide you an image of what it is. And that's going to be pushed through the system to you. Same within a trade. The design is such that you'll actually be sharing custom images as an option there. Because I know for myself, you can tell me what the condition is, but I kind of want to see it.
Oh, yeah, I don't buy anything without seeing it.
It's a trust but verify. You said it's got a minor scratch. I kind of want to know what your definition of minor is. So if I can see the picture, I can look at it in my own judgment then and say,
unlike
okay.
Every seller's worst nightmare, you know, there's a select few people that know how to work with me because they know what kind of stuff that's important to me and what I look for. And really, when you call it a minor scratch, it really may be a major scratch to me. I don't suggest everybody selling to me unless you know me, just because, you know. But again, you know, if there's a problem, I'm not a total pain in the butt about it, always. But certainly, you know, I would be a little bit more wondering, you know, as far as, you know, that really at this point, anyway, because this could be something that could certainly matter more, say, when you bring on other collections than it would in an established community, say, like you're saying. The pony community is pretty tight. We do have a large amount of knowledge about each other as well as other training posts and things where we could look up that member. As you move on to other collections, I think eventually you may need something that is independent to your site when you're dealing with maybe communities that aren't as tight or that maybe are so much larger that it's harder to to substantiate the histories of these different members.
Well, and that's where we're working on our trade, our user rating. It's basically based on your sales and your trades, and even factoring in things such as how many other users you're recruiting. You know, if you've referred somebody, we're going to have a referral feature in there, in the screen. So somebody who might be, of course, referring a lot of people who might become premium members, maybe they earn some free time themselves as a reward. But for somebody who's doing really good trades and getting good feedback and good sales, and the people that are on the other end of those transactions are rating them well, that's a cumulative rating that they're going to build over time. It's a trust rating is really
right.
What it is. And
but for all intents and purposes,
if something should go wrong,
it's not something that you will be liable for. That's going to be something that has to be worked out in a different venue.
Yeah, just very similar to most of the other, you know, if you did a transaction through a forum, for instance, there, you know, the forum doesn't have your credit card, right?
I don't know. Depends.
Well, my point
is Lord.
That I'm not saying that what we've got is perfect in the fact that
no, I'm just putting out the questions that some people, especially people that maybe don't have a long history with trading, to really understand, you know, the subtle differences between trading, say, on a board that's been around for a while or doing purchases on eBay versus, you know, with a startup and you're establishing that. That's a new concept for some people.
It is.
So I think it was worth at least mentioning, okay, you know, obviously I'm sure you guys have had to have thought about this and where are you at with that particular part of it. I'm sure that will definitely develop a life of its own and get tweaks as needed as you go along. But right now, again, starting up, how long in the future do you see, like, obviously these premium membership options? I'm guessing here that they might not really be coming on until you have a much more substantial base of pony stuff going on in there. At what point do you see yourself, I mean, nobody's going to pay $8 a month for, you know, one-tenth of an inventory of what's out there.
It is definitely driven off of the data. You know, we do need more completion within the data set, and we're working on that. You know, when it gets to the trading, for instance, the trading is something that's going to be available to all members, not just premium, and it's going to work more off of the site credit. And we've played with the idea for somebody who might only have one pony they ever want to sell, allowing them to use site credits to actually post an individual item. But from a code standpoint, that gets a little bit more complex for us. We've not gotten to that point.
I am liking you more as this interview goes along, though. Let me tell you, that article doesn't bring across the depth of your ideas or ways that you're looking at making a lot of this stuff feasible, where, yes, you recognize $8 a month is a bit steep, and that's going to be for a select portion of the community.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that it's going to exclude the community. And you're going to suck us all in slowly is what it sounds like.
Well, here's the thing. First off, the article, we worked really, really hard. And like, y'all have given me so much more access and time to, you know, to share what we're doing, what our vision is. With the newspaper article, they were great. But they did make it sound like some of the features were already out there. And I really tried to make sure I distinguished between what we had built today and what we're working on building, and some of that got blurred a little there. So I really do appreciate the opportunity to clear it.
Well, they're also not going to give you a two-hour two-hour slot there to really go into depth of not only, you know, what you have, but really where you see, all right, this is the idea, this is the premium membership, but there's many layers and ways that interacts with all the other types of memberships. And so that really is very valuable information and doesn't scare me as much as it did. I'm still not giving you $8 a month yet, though.
And that's fine. We're going to have, you know what, we're going to have users that are going to use the site, and they're never going to make a trade, and they're never going to make a purchase, and they're never going to make a sale. All they're going to do is inventory their ponies, and that's it. And you know what? Good. I'm more than happy to have that because we need those people too. And part of the reason I say that, that may sound like an odd statement of why would you want people that don't ultimately have the opportunity to drive some, you know, maybe a revenue-generating event for you as a business. That doesn't sound like a business model. What is important for a collection, and, you know, this has been something that recently even got asked on the forum of Collect, is if we have users that are using Collect, we can get data back out to the community as to how many of things there are out there. That's good information to know. How many mimics are there for real?
I don't think the world really wants to know, because mimics' value might take a hit.
Exactly. And that's, so remember when we talked about value earlier?
Right. So value, this is another, this is a whole other dimension that you can bring to value equation that we don't currently have.
We have an algorithm that we wrote. It doesn't, it's not on the site right now because...
Algorithm, is that a Scrabble word?
It's a double word score. So,
now I'm just trying to count that up. The M is 3, the G is 2, the Y. I think it might not be. It might be too many letters. Go ahead.
The Y is worth 9, I think.
No, the Y is actually worth 4. Get it right.
Is it 4?
It's 4.
I'll play an old bird. Back in my day, it was worth 9. So.
Why is it not worth 4? It's worth 4.
Because it was still sometimes 1.
Look, the really the only letters you really want to have are the X, the Q, and the Z. Okay? Everything else. This is gravy.
All right. So
welcome
so
to Panda's
not,
hyperactive breathing,
we're
laughing. She has a little conniption fit every once in a while when she just loses it.
That's good.
It's
we
a good thing.
Alive.
It's a beautiful thing.
We know she's alive. So,
I can't do
so
that. My body is incapable of that. And I'm jealous.
It's also called the giggle hour, so...
I'm not sure what set it off, but...
Algorithm, I think.
Algorithm.
So
that's going to be my new button.
There you go. What
if it was you two arguing over the scores?
Okay, I got your number now. I'll meet you on pogo.com. We're going at it.
I was going to say, I'm going to Google it later, find out I was wrong, and then mention it to my wife, and she'll go, of course you were wrong. And I'll be like, whatever. So what we'll be doing in the background is based off of the trades that are taking place, the sales that are taking place, all the different transactions.
Panda, are you still losing it over algorithm?
No, I just read the chat.
So we need to just break it down. A's are worth 1, L's are worth 1, G's are worth 2, O's are worth 1, R's are worth 1, Y's are worth 4, H is worth 4, M's are worth 3.
Miss Gatiman said, breathe, breathe, in the chat room. Sorry.
No problem.
Okay, we have a moment here. We got a moment. I'm sorry, Panda's moment was really kind of pulling me away from being able to pay attention to what you were saying, Ryan.
We need her
even
to breathe.
I've gotten a little lost.
Sure.
Okay,
hopefully you know what you were saying.
I do. The point was is that based off of people using the site, we'll be able to start making proposed adjustments into the values of an item because we'll have the data of what is out there and what are those transactions looking like. In other words, what do they trade for and what do they sell for? And that can then take that $40 item that, you know, maybe there's a catalog value of $40. But because of today's economy, it's really a $10 item. And so that needs to adjust based off of what the market's going to really pay for that.
But that's also something that sounds like it could be a living thing that will fluctuate as the market fluctuates. So it won't be frozen with that designation.
Exactly. And so you'll be able to actually look at the trend of an item over time and see how is this item done over the last year, 2 years, et cetera, as we build that information.
Oh, computer geeks are going wacko right now. I can just see it. They're going, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, the code. Oh, the chart. Oh, my God, the scales.
There you go.
Their minds are just twirling right now at all the things that you had put in to make this happen. There's somebody is just in bliss right now.
I am not.
We are.
You're not a computer programmer.
That's valuable data for a collector.
You are? You're a computer programmer?
I've taken the courses. I'm more of a tech, though.
Oh, you're a tech. Yeah. Now, my husband, he's a computer geek. And he would probably really have found all that rather interesting in the mechanics of actually making that come to be.
Sure.
Are you the guy that makes that happen?
I am one of the guys.
So are you like top geek or middle geek, or are you just like directive geek?
I'm kind of the one that stuff usually breaks. I'm just the
now
one that's hard enough to find better geeks out there. So real fortunate and blessed to work with a couple of really great guys that are just phenomenal programmers. And, you know, they're the ones that are able to make it work and, you know, make the code happen so that then we can, you know, again, test it out, make sure it works, let y'all tell us what you like and what you don't.
Oh, we'll tell you.
Oh, exactly. And see, I count on that. And, again, the community has been fantastic. We've gotten, you know, again, gotten some things that, hey, this is wrong, or, you know, we've had a couple of you know, typos in some of the data, for instance. And that,
you know what you should do? If you really like that and you want to encourage it, you should actually put in something that gives, like, users brownie points. Like little brownies. Just,
like,
you know, give
credit.
Them a brownie count. It doesn't have to really amount to anything other than brownie points. It's just what they are.
Well, with the site credits that we're going to be doing, that's exactly one of the reward tools. And then a user can use the site credit. They can either, if they don't want to participate in the community, they could actually just purchase some site credits. Or, you know, we're looking at probably about 25 cents a credit, so very low impact. They can cash in a couple credits if they want to post something out for sale, if they only have one item that they ever want to sell, and that's it. But then they can also use their credits when they're doing trades or, you know, when the trade transactions take place. And then if we have other features, services, things down the line, that'll just feed into that, but it's also something they can use to cash in against membership time. So the idea being is that you're going to have certain members that are going to be, like I said, they're going to be very content with just managing their inventory. That's great. The idea isn't that we're changing people's behavior. It's making them have to do it our way. Our way isn't any way. Our way is just to have the set of tools available, and you as the user get to decide what level you want to go to. Do you want to just manage your own inventory and you don't want to participate in the community? And you don't, you know, you're not looking to grow your community or your collection? You just, you know, want to do that? That's okay. If you want to go to the other end of the spectrum where you're putting your custom images up on all your ponies and you want to slice and dice the data and you want to, you know, bring your friends into it and you want to push information to us as far as, hey, you know, you can fix this or, Here's a better photo than one of the ones you have, or whatever it is, and earn site credit. I mean, effectively, the high use users will basically be using the site for free at that point because they're feeding it. They're making the community better, and we do want to reward that behavior.
You know what I'm liking as you get more into the nuts and bolts and ideas. Is I actually found myself going, wow, they can do that. And that's not something you hear too often anymore. It's just, in general, you know, it's coming up with any kind of new twist, new innovation, it just doesn't happen as much as you would like it to, you know, as things go on. I think I heard once say something along the lines of the invention of the light switch or invention of electricity. You don't want to have to know how it all works. You just want to turn on the light switch and know that it works.
Exactly.
And that's what matters. And here we're talking about, you know, there was a time when people were just blown away. Wow, you can make that happen. You can make a light turn on, and there was a lot more to it. Whereas you're on a different area trying to take that analogy. You're talking about introducing new mechanics to the way people work with their collection.
Right.
And this whole interactive, it's like you're globalizing the My Little Pony community, as well as giving it a certain life of its own if you are entering all these programs that you see yourself entering in the future, which would automatically adjust values, would automatically link people up with people looking for certain items, same values, you know, and everything else just kind of becoming almost its own thing, own self-sustaining, very real, very accurate system, which is something I don't think I really know of anybody doing on any kind of collecting basis. So it's kind of like, wow. It's like I actually found myself going, wow, you know, that's a thought that hadn't really come to mind. I mean, everybody will sit there and say, oh, gosh, I wish I knew this. But to actually connect the dots and put it together and say, you know what, that can be done. There is a way to write a program for that, and I'm going to be that guy, I think is pretty darn cool. And it takes a lot to impress me, so you should be impressed.
I do appreciate that. The thing that was important to me, and again, one of the questions very early on in the interview is what made me start this. About 4 years ago, I mentioned I started trying to put a little kind of program on my own just for my stamps and really hated what I wrote because it broke. I think I mentioned that I was a horrible programmer. So, of course, it didn't work as well as I had envisioned it. It worked just well enough to make me angry. But it got my wheels. I've been doing a lot of research looking at stuff that was out there, and stamps are, you know, a huge collection community. It's a very mainstream collectible out there. So there's software you can buy and things like that. And I started looking at it, and I'm like, you know, the whole concept that any collections, collectibles, I mean, they are communities, and they are like-minded individuals that share value in an item. And why should we as collectors be forced to always pay up front just to know about our collection? We already know about our collection. So, for instance, you know, if you were in certain other types of collectibles, you can find online inventory that you can catalog your stuff, but you've got to pay up front just to even get in the door. And then you've got to pay a fee for them to continue to host your information about your collection. So that was like one thing that existed out there that I just fundamentally disagreed with. And so we said, you know what, we don't want to do it that way. We know what we don't like. And so I ended up having a lot of time in the latter half of 2008 where I was over in Iraq, actually, and had a lot of downtime. And so it gave me a lot more time to start doing a lot more research and looking at a lot more information. And
I think I read something about you being military at one point.
I am, yes, correct.
I'm Air Force. Husband's Air Force career.
All right. Awesome. Appreciate it. So, I'm Navy, and
I'm sorry.
So I'm in the Navy. There you go. Hell for that one. Hell for that one. Thank you much.
Okay.
Okay,
hey, really, you know, it's the hair. You know, you guys just don't, you know, can't help it. You know, you do know that you can tell who they are by their haircut.
If they're scouts, they're a Marine.
And if they got way too long hair, you're a Navy.
There you go.
Because you guys haven't had a haircut in 6 months.
There you go. The,
So I to this day just don't understand the lore of the idea of being on a boat for 6 months with a bunch of guys six bunks on top of each other. It just does not sound like a lot. Well, then again, no, it just does not sound fun. Okay, I just got smacked by Tomcat. He did not appreciate my joke.
Or maybe.
Thank you, Tomcat.
So I did not spend that time. I was actually out in the desert. So
yeah, that isn't that like the absolute opposite of what the Navy should be doing? You know, water, desert. I mean, I would think that you'd be standing there going, exactly how did this happen?
Exactly. Well, So I'm a logistics officer for the military, which is basically dealing with the largest inventory and logistics systems in the world. And I work.
You're allowed to tell us that, huh?
I am. I spent the last 5 years working with special forces in the special warfare community with the SEAL team. And so
I don't know. It sounds like you're dancing on some secret information here.
Well, you know, we hit all the secrets in the pony. So.
That is not that far from the truth. In the early days, we hid things in ponies and shipped them overseas all the time.
Oh,
that
yeah.
is how we did our international trades. We hid money and things inside baits and shipped them to other countries. That's how transactions took place.
I'm quite certain there have been things hidden in those.
Let's not go places where that pony... I was talking money here, people.
Yeah, somebody's going to slap me. The point being is that spent a lot of time doing surveys, doing a lot of research, putting a lot of things, you know, seeing really what I believed became identified as a need out there for collectors, really almost of any type of collectible.
Did you talk about this with the Navy guys?
You know, I don't think I said ponies at that time.
Because that could really make for an interesting moment, I would think.
You know, when you're on a convoy, that might not be the first topic you want to bring up.
Maybe not. You might get some looks. Nobody will be sharing the hole with you that night.
And at that point, we still didn't have the community specific, and that came a little bit right after.
So that was an interesting thing, is that you had the general idea for the collecting, and then what community to start with kind of presented itself. So you had the idea actually before you knew which community you were going to do it with. This is just a collecting idea in general.
It is.
And so we are the babies.
Yeah, our goal is to be, hopefully by the year's end, if not after the first of the year, be able to release out into a second community.
That's ambitious. I'd be impressed if you get all of the ponies into your database by year's end. Are you kidding me? That'd be a small feat. If you're looking at reaching out to another community, I would think, I mean, are you thinking before actually being able to fully finish My Little Pony, be reaching out to another community? Because I just can't imagine that you're going to get another 2,000 ponies on your site in that amount of time.
So with what you're saying, there's some layers to that, and I think hopefully...
It's an onion.
It is. Anytime I think that we get to the point where we really believe we've gotten all the ponies, there's going to be 10 more that are going to show up. So,
well, 10 more is fine, rather than knowing you have a backlog of another 500 or another whatever amount of ponies. There's a difference between what keeps popping up and having to maintain, as opposed to getting all that stuff that's already known in.
And, of course, with them making new ponies, too.
That can just wait.
obviously, the first thing, we've got to get all the G3s in. The European, the Malaysian, some of the other countries, working on those, always willing to talk to any of the collectors that are really specialized in those areas.
There are some countries that are just going to be very easy for you to add right off the bat. UK. You go to the UK, and that is going to be such an easy country for you to work with. You go to the Dutch ponies, the German ponies, very easy, very smaller collections, very specific collections, lots of information on them. It's not until you're going to get to some of those other countries, like Argentina. Good Lord.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be there forever. Argentina is going to suck up half your year. But
don't remind me about Argentina.
That's why we're doing this interview, Ryan, is we just got through Argentina, and we need a serious break.
I saw that you had a five-part series, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, and we rushed some of that. Some of that had to get rushed because we were just like, okay, I am so done being in Argentina.
Well,
Argentina has some amazing stuff, but wow, we spent the entire summer there.
Yes. With a section like that, and again, knowing that, those are going to be ones that we're going to have to take our time with, because it is going to be a little bit more challenging to make sure we have good, accurate, validated information. We're not just going to take it from a single source on some of those. We're going to coordinate the data and validate it across a couple, you know, multiple collectors and you know, people who are willing to work with us, so that we make sure
that I'll just have to send you my entire bookmark list.
There you go. So that we make sure that we're not getting inaccurate information. I mean, that can almost be a frustrating.
And that is a problem. That is a problem we have witnessed ourselves doing the site as we took on this task of going through every pony. It became apparent, hey, you know what? Not all these sites are 100% accurate. You know, this site, based on when it was made, thought this was the information based on the picture it had, but it turned out it was actually this. And then we have to actually cross-reference. Oftentimes when we're doing our shows, we'll cross-reference between three sites, commonly three sites, if not more. Three site minimum, up to five sites or six sites, if we're really trying to find some sort of obscure information.
And then
but
what's going to happen?
And also us as collectors kind of knowing what we're looking for and when something's erroneous. I mean, it's got to be a little harder on your end when you're not as well-versed. I mean, you're going to be one heck of a pony expert when this is all over.
I was going to say, I do have a collection, albeit small. So, yeah, there's going to be some of them that are going to, you know, some of the community or sections within, you know, all ponies that exist that, you know, we're working to get on very fast. Some of them are going to take us a little longer. With the what brought us, you know, like I mentioned before, when we started, so we had the idea, then it was a matter of finding the right community and, you know, really, again, finding a tight community that had, you know, that has it back together, you know.
Well, thank you. I believe that too.
You guys know that you know what you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of really, I think we have a good community. I think, and we have a different sections of the community. We have a couple different boards, each with their own things going on. But at the end of the day, we're all still one pony community. We all join together under that one banner every year. We all meet up at different meets, and I think we're just very interactive with each other, even on personal levels. There are people that I've met through the pony world that are part of my everyday life, thanks
They're
to
cool.
my cell phone, that live, you know, far away, but we'll be texting all the time. You know, say, I don't know how many other communities actually start to develop those kinds of relationships that are actually like, you know, Christmas cards,
Family.
Birthday cards, oh my gosh, look what just happened, you know, on eBay, and you're just in that constant sharing. So the sharing is more than what you see on the boards. We also do it in our free time on our cell phones, texting. I am a texting monster now.
Yes.
So I think in that respect, you know, the community really has a real family feel. And we have our black sheeps, and we have our, did you hear what, you know, cousin Susie did? But for the most part,
I think
we got something good.
Well, I hope to not ever become crazy, you know, Uncle Larry or something. And in the community.
You already are.
yeah.
At this moment, you're probably one of the more forefront men as far as being identified as men. We have male collectors. We have some very prominent male collectors, without a doubt. But you kind of, like, jumped the gun here. You, like, immediately came on board. Like, some of these male collectors, you know, it takes time to figure out their males because they don't necessarily have, you know, hey, I'm Joe Muscleman as their, you know, username. And it may not come out that they're a man for some time. They're like, oh, wow, you're a guy. Who knew? You know, they show up at a pony meet or something, like, whoa, it's a boy, which is really cool. But, I mean, you're straight out the gate. You know, everybody's going to know you're a guy, which is going to put you in a nice little, I don't know what to call it. It's going to put you in a nice little spotlight, which is really another aspect of this, that a guy has taken an interest in what is traditionally seen as a predominantly chick thing.
Does it help that I knew about these a long time ago? again,
well, you do have that. You do have that connection with your sister, which, you know, kudos for you for taking something your sister is doing instead of, and I don't know if you ever went through this, but grabbing her pony and ripping the head off and running around the house screaming and driving her crazy. But you actually took it seriously. You said, hey, this is cool.
Fortunately, I never did tear their heads off, so I can safely say that I've at least never destroyed one that I know of. And
wow, you're like the good brother.
Well,
where's the bad brother? You got to have like an evil brother in there somewhere, right?
Oh, don't worry. There was that side too, but it just didn't manifest itself on the pony.
Well, there are small miracles, right?
There you
go. Such an easy target. They are such an easy target. They're just the innocents, you know. But no, I think that's cool, you know. And this is another thing that ties into one of my theories. Guys are more open to this stuff than most people give them credit for. And I've mentioned it in other shows. I'll mention it again. The most positive reactions I have ever had to my pony room when I take an adult, an unsuspecting adult, and thrust them into the pony room. The ones that I've gotten the most amazing positive results from were the guys. The guys are the ones that are like, wow, this is cool. This is awesome. This is neat. We can do something with this. I mean, like, your little cogs in their head just start, their gears are going. And you can see it. I don't know what it is. They're like kids in a candy store. The chicks, now, they think it's cool, but it's almost like, unless you're into a collecting or something, they don't have the kind of response immediately that guys do. And I think there's something there. There's something untapped there, Ryan. I'm telling you.
Well,
I think guys have a different understanding and an appreciation about that we don't give them credit for.
There's an interesting statistic, and it comes out of the psychology field and some case studies that have been done. So statistically, the average is 1 in 3 people in the United States collect something. And that's, when you consider that there's, you know, 308 million people in the United States, that's a pretty good, you know, it's a third of the population there that's collecting something. Now, some of those somethings are, you know, rocks.
Newspapers.
there's some odd stuff, too. It actually works out to about 1 in 5, so about 20% of the population. And you could extrapolate that also, you know, extends outside to other developed countries, like, you know, Europe or Germany, you know, some places like that. So 20% collect an inventoryable item, something like a manufactured item like a My Little Pony. And so there is so many of us in the world that are collectors. And I think, I honestly argue that I think it's more than 1 in 3, only because I've surveyed so many people over the last 4 years, and one of the first questions I ask people when I start, especially if I start talking about the business, is, you know, what do you collect? And they'll say, oh, I don't collect anything. And I'm like, really? And once you talk to them a little bit, you'll find out, well, I do actually have all these things that have Superman on it. Or I do have, you know, I was talking to somebody who swore up and down they didn't collect anything, but they have all these ceramic frogs, not by one manufacturer, just in general. So, again, not necessarily a collectible, like, manufactured, but, you know, like what, you know, with ponies or something like that. But, you know, there are so many things that people do collect. It's just kind of part of us as humans, I think.
Well, you know, I cannot believe it, but it is almost 11 o'clock. And our show, for as far as the people that listen to us live, is about to be cut off. Now, we do often go into overtime, and we do not get cut off until 3 hours. Rarely has that happened, but we have been actually cut off.
We actually went an entire 3 hours, and all of a sudden, I kid you not, it comes on and basically tells you, okay, that's it, you're done, show's over.
Goodbye. you just get cut off. But for streaming purposes, now obviously people who choose to download this from iTunes or tomorrow from our site will get the entire length, whether it's 2 hours and 5 minutes or 2 hours and 30 minutes, they'll get the full thing. But at 11 o'clock, people who are listening live, which is probably two people right now, because Ever since they found out they could do iTunes or download it later, our live listeners, like, dropped off because they're like, shoot, I can just download this later. It's so much easier.
But let's just say our downloads are excellent numbers.
We do have, and that is another thing, Ryan. I think, you know, you will get a fair amount of people listening to this. Our numbers range on a low day for 200 people downloading off our site up to 500-something people. And that is just from our site. People who download from iTunes, we have no way of tracking the numbers. And when we announced we were available on iTunes, we saw a shift in the numbers. So we do know that a large amount of people are getting it from iTunes. We've actually had people find us on iTunes and then get pulled into the community. So there's some interesting dynamics going on there. So I can guarantee you, you'll get at least 200 people listening to this, more than likely more. Much more if our numbers hold true. But
I hope you find it entertaining.
Because we have 4 more minutes, here's what I think might be a good idea to do. If there's something you want to say for the people that may be listening live, you know, if you need to plug something like the website or something, to do that now. And we can continue talking, you know, with some things that maybe you want to wrap up past the 11 o'clock hour, and that will still be available for the people that download.
Okay. The website, that's a very good point. It is www.klect.com. You kept it pretty simple there. And so, you know, good point. Thank you for making sure I stayed on top of that. And, you know, there's definitely a few other things I'd be happy to continue speaking about. We've got a there's some protection, insurance protection partnership that we're working on to offer insurance collection for a pony collector, or any type of collector, actually, that'll be not through us, but available through our site. We're trying to do kind of what you said, where you said you found people found you through iTunes, and then they got into the community. I have, again, through talking with people, found ladies, and mainly ladies, obviously, that had My Little Ponies as a young girl, and still had some. And they're like, really? There are people that collected those? I love those. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there's affinity about it. And the fact that they're able to find out about that. Now, I don't know how many of them have, like, gotten engaged out of that, but it's the awareness factor. And if what we can do through what we're doing in our site is help raise the awareness for the community, then I think we're doing a good thing. And that is, you know, I don't mean to make it sound so always altruistic, but I really, really in my core believe that if you're doing good things for the community, the business part of it will work itself out. And,
oh, yeah. You got to be careful. Our U.S. policy, foreign policy kind of went off of that premise. It's not always working out quite right.
Well, you got to be smart about it, too. I mean.
Oh, that's where we went wrong.
Well, you get too many politicians.
Sorry, we say politician. What was I thinking? Okay, back to rational human beings.
There you go. I hope. Yeah, let's talk about ponies, rational stuff.
Yeah, what was I thinking?
You said you've got almost all mint and near mint ponies and a lot of G1s, right?
Right.
Do you have any idea what your collection's worth?
You
don't have to say it out loud, but just yes or no.
Yes, I do.
Good. That's important. Hopefully.
But down to a dollar, where I've really kind of like gone over each one and really, you know, not to an exact. Like, I can give a ballpark that I know for a fact it's in this range. And I may be pleasantly surprised that it's above that range, because I tend to value my ponies on the low end just to give the benefit of the doubt.
That's not uncommon. Psychologically, most of us do that across all types of estimations, except when it comes into defining our own abilities. But that goes into a whole other topic. So as we have value within CLECT, and as value gets refined and further refined and you know, over time, one of the things that we provide right now is here's what your collections were.
Yes,
right?
You see, now I'm looking at that. You got me having like 500 of my ponies loaded with a value of over 7,000. And that's not even my good ponies. Those are like not including my Europeans, my internationals, my variants, my ponies that are $100, $200 each. These are just, and this isn't even, you know, this is what, the first 2 years of G3s and your common G1s. So I'm already going, okay, they're obviously valuing my collection a little higher than I probably would have, which I thought, if for no, even if it's not accurate, it sure does give you some warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yeah, I mean, we're like we discussed earlier, you know, those values are going to change from year to year based on what the world is doing. They're going to be ballpark averages or estimates, and there's going to be some that are going to be spot on. There's going to be some that are going to be low and some that are going to be high. But, you know, generally speaking, it's going to put you in a ballpark. I mean,
right, and so far it looks like the ballpark
that
is going in the direction that I think it's going to go in. We're about halfway through my collection, and I expect my collection to be worth around $15,000. And at least right now, I mean, you actually may overshoot that once we get into the Europeans and everything, but that's fine by me. As long as I hit the 15, which is where I think it should be, if it's above that, that's just gravy.
Well, we're working on something, and this is future, okay? So I'll give you guys a little insight, a little early tip, if you will. I've had some discussions. We're talking with a couple of national-style insurance companies. The idea of, so again, little background here is most collectors have their collection insured under their homeowner's policy. There's a high-value item rider that you get attached to your homeowner's policy. And a lot of people will use it for jewelry, or they'll use it for collectibles. Depending on the insurance company you're with, and some people don't even do that. So,
right, mine, when I spoke to my insurance agent, he just says it's listed under your, you designate it and you list it as, you know, a collection under your homeowner's insurance. And what they then go on to say is that I should be taking specifically pictures that show these ponies in my home so that there is some sort of like architectural proof that these are my ponies. And then having some way to show the value, which is, I'm thinking, more so where your site is going to come in handy. This will be not on my computer, but off-site computer that shows, okay, you know, I might not have all my ponies and all my data that I had on my computer before to show you all this, but
right. If it was a fire, you lost your computer.
Right. Even though, you know, I try to do the smart things with the fireboxes and all that, nothing is foolproof. And to know that even if the pictures are not, yeah, you know, I can store the pictures, say, in like an off, like a photo bucket or something like that, and know that those are secure. But all that data is an awful lot to keep track of. And so that alone is an invaluable resource for insurance purposes. But it sounds like you actually are going to have a separate insurance company that's going to work or make insurance policies available, or are they going to work with the insurance you already have?
What we're having a discussion about is, so I don't know if you know this, and I don't want to, you know, ruin anybody's day here, but that rider that you pay for this set amount, first off, it carries a much higher premium than your other items for your homeowner's policy because of the fact they don't know anything about ponies, right? So they've got to charge you a little bit higher premium because you're telling them, trust me, it's worth this much, and they're just going, I don't know what they are, and how do I know they're worth that much? And that's just globally across just the insurance. I mean, because, again, if you think of all the things people collect and all the things that people, you know, do carry on these policies, so they don't have a way to validate it, so they're going to have a little bit higher premium to that part of the insurance policy to kind of cover their backside, if you will. A lot of them, and I don't know about yours, but a lot of them will also cause you to have a total loss. You can't say, well, I just lost, you know, somebody stole half of my collection. Right? You kind of have to lose all of it. So, and it varies based on company, and some of them also have thresholds of how much they'll allow you to cover. So what we're trying to put together for the collector community is that there would be a collector-specific insurance policy, very, very affordable, based off of the value of your collection. Now, what we would be doing as Collect is, if you chose to do that, there's no obligation, there's nothing through us, it's literally just something to put out there for the collectors. If collectors are using that policy, we will then share with that company the value that your collection sets, so they know what the policy needs to be. So let's say it's $15,000. They know that you have a $15,000 policy. We're the nonpartisan, non-biased value definition for you, so that they have comfort in saying some third party has told us what the value is. Now, let's say you go out, you go to the pony show next year, and you go crazy. You just get like all these great ponies that you've been saving up for because you missed this year's show, so obviously you didn't spend all your
money.
I've
got an itch to scratch, yeah.
You've got it. Now all of a sudden your collection is worth $20,000. Well, we're going to send them an update.
I am considering a $2,000 purchase, actually, at this time.
There you go. There you go. Hey, uh-huh. Would you be interested in a green 2010 pony for
$2,000? No, thank you. So sweet of you to consider me,
though.
But I have that pony.
I've got a
nice try, though.
Lemon drop. Maybe a special edition lemon drop.
You call yourself a collector.
The tailless version. It's very rare. So... what we would look to do is help keep them up to date when you have significant changes in your value so that they can adjust your policy either up or down based off of what your collection's worth. So you're always covered to the level of what your collection is. So you don't end up going to that show, upping your collection value. Oh, gee, I forgot to call my insurance company. If something unfortunate were to happen, and now you don't actually have the level of coverage that you need to replace what you have. So... you know, that's just one of those things where we've got other things to deal with first, obviously. We've got to get the G3s out there. We've got to, have some other things come online. But that's, again, one of the things that we want to try to bring out there for the collectors so that it's just another resource, another tool. Just hopefully something that helps some collectors. And some collectors may look at it and go, my collection's worth $100. I don't really need that.
That would be Amy. Just kidding.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Just kidding. Sorry, I made enough digs on poor Ryan. I got to be nice to the guests, so I had to go back to you.
Thanks. I love you, too.
Love you. That's my job. I'm not
okay,
here to be nice.
I have to say this. As you two have been just chit-chatting and talking, I finally... got the time to actually go back on the website to actually start cataloging, because I will admit I signed up and I really haven't been back to the site, only because when I came back from the convention I got dropped right back into work, and let's just say I haven't come up for air since.
Monday.
No, Monday is my late day, so no Monday, no Tuesday. I'm late. I'm there till I'm up at the
Started on her work schedule. Oh my word! We don't want to go there. Okay, that's another half hour show.
No,
so you went back
but
to the
I was
site.
I was on there and I was actually going through, and I realized going through your site and going through one of Summer's books to catalog everything. I realized I had a pony that I hadn't marked off, and it actually completed a set.
Yeah.
And I realized that while using your site. And it's so easy. You just click on it and just keep going.
I think it's going to be also, I was curious. I know, I'm guessing, where are you planning to, like you said with Hasbro is going to supply the pictures for the hub ponies that I will not call G-Force.
I just
so that you know where that consistent resource is going to come from. And I know right now you've got a swath of G3, no picture available, with a G1 SoSoft stand sitting in the picture. Very interesting items to choose for the no picture available. There's three of them. If you ever wanted to know how many of those three ponies actually use that stand. So talk about taking a random rare accessory and putting it in the no picture available.
Well, I didn't like the blank picture, to be honest.
Right. No, that makes sense. It's kind of interesting. It's got the monochromatic thing going on. I'm not going to argue with it. I just wanted you to know that it was interesting. But how do you have, like, a plan of like, some sort of consistent source, or you got, like, something in cahoots with Summer or somebody else that's going to be like, no, I'm going to supply all your pictures, or is this going to be, like, a donation system? How are you going to fill out, I mean, the wall
believe
of Greg?
Believe it or not, yeah, believe it. Okay, so with the pictures that are out are missing out there right now, we've got some things working. We're going to have the images hopefully coming online very soon for those. We got the data out there before we got the images. And now, even with working with Summer and even with working with my sister, for instance, who, you know, got what I think is a pretty impressive collection, just based on the fact
she's been around quite a while. I'm sure she does.
She started when she got her first pony. So she's, you know, been collecting them ever since they came out. And was very very active with it when she was in college, you know, and so it's always been something she's been into. So, you know, she's gotten quite a few, and it wraps around the whole room, so, you know, a lot of shit.
Right.
So there's her plug, so, you know, when she hears
I like Snices. I seem to recall her comments. You know, certain people, you know, once you've been around long enough, you just remember certain names and... You know, I can't say I have anything bad I could possibly say about Snifos.
Well, I do.
I have to say I love their fair.
But believe it or not, even between some of these collectors and some of the other ones that have been kind of helping us out with images and data and things like that, most people don't have everything. And so we do have gaps. We are going to have some winnings that what we've been real fortunate with so far, and, for instance, there were some sea ponies that we were missing a few images on. And it's kind of, for me, you mentioned something about the concept of a set. It was the set, and I like to see that closure of a set. And so I posted out, and a couple of users sent us, they had some of the images that we were missing. We made sure we gave them little taglines in the photos as a thank you. So that, you know, we can recognize them back into the community. So if any user ever actually sees something that's missing and has a really good quality, you know, good image, we're actually going to put something into the site to where they can do it through the site to submit it. And then we'll have, you know, somebody validate that you're, you know, we're getting things matched up properly. But, you know, we want to make sure that we give credit back to those users that are helping support. And then as we bring on site credits, for instance, that'll be, again, something that, if they're feeding into the community, then we need to feed back to them.
You know, something has just occurred to me. I think I know Snifes personally. I might know her, like met her. Is she ever been to one of the Maryland pony meets?
I think so.
Yeah, because I'm going, you know, suddenly I'm seeing her name on a name tag, and I feel like somebody's going to browbeat me and go, moron, Snifez, hello, been meeting her now for like the last 5 years, hello, you know her, it's this person, and I'm like, oh my gosh, such a
dud.
I'm pretty sure I actually know her, so I don't know how much I stepped into it over the course of this interview, but... This is why sometimes, this is the danger of doing things late on a Friday.
Late, when you're
into that established point of your life where you're married and kids and Friday nights hold no meaning for you anymore, so you do pony shows and you're tired. Not all the brain synapses are working real well. Yeah, I know Snifez. I'm pretty darn sure of it now.
Probably do.
Hi, Snifez. Sorry.
She does.
You don't have to remember me either. That's fine.
She does a lot of shows. I know she goes to a lot of them, and we'll have tables and, you know, do booths and, you know.
Yeah.
So it's author. So
it's creeping into my mind now, and I'm feeling badly about that. I'm sorry. Which is interesting, which means she may drag you along if she goes to Maryland Pony Meet next year. She might just drag you along, which means I would get to meet you there.
There you go.
Well, which we are already planning. Yes, we start planning this far out.
Well, good. Definitely let me know when that's going. I'd love to, if everything lines up. I always want to try to make sure that, you know, again, I'd like to have Clutch there, you know, because, again, it's a give back into the community.
Right. Where are you located in the U.S.?
Texas. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So maybe it might have been Pony Genie that was talking about meeting Snipes. Anyway, like I said, it's late. If I met her or not met her, it doesn't matter. I know who she is. And that's a great thing. But if you ever make it to Maryland, now Maryland's Pony Meet always happens at the end of May. At least it has consistently for the last 5 years. It's always been like the third week of May, in that range. So typically, yeah, you know, once college finals are over, we go right to Pony Meet.
Right on.
But that's a bit of a journey for you from Texas. But the Maryland Pony Meet is the largest pony meet outside of the fair.
Okay.
So as far as if you're going to attend one pony meet, you know, it's the biggest. It's the biggest. It's not actually the convention. So it's something to keep in mind next year. And just think of the huge presentation you could do with all the developments that have happened to your site.
There you go.
That's our mission. That's our goal. You know, we're you know, like I said, you know, we do plan to even and so I know I mentioned it a couple of times about just how good the feedback's been, and because I know I've said that a bunch of times, but I can't say it enough. And because of that, the pony community is always going to, no matter how many other collector communities we ever add, hey, anything new is going to come out in this community first.
Ooh,
you know,
awesome. We're
going to
have that priority status.
Absolutely. Because you know what? You're the community's first to work with us. So, you know, kind of like.
And this could be a really cool thing in the future. I mean, not only that, but what you're talking about, in all actuality, could draw more collectors into the community by way of your site. If your site takes off the way you are hoping it does, if your business model proves sound and you have branched out into other collecting communities and you become more of a go-to spot, and your My Little Ponies are your priority, you know, we love these guys, these were our first, that's going to put us in another area where we're going to get, hey, wow, there is this other community. This is something that is still relevant enough to be on this site. And before you know it, we could have more collectors rolling in. So for us, it also, because that's another thing, a collecting community always wants to grow. You never want to stagnate. You never want to be getting together for that Maryland Pony Meet 2050 and everybody is like 70 years old. You want to have a constant influx of new collectors. And part of that is, you know, who are you reaching and where are you being seen? And aside from, you know, because it's not just what Hasbro does. The community has managed to grow even when Hasbro wasn't producing stuff. And this is part of it. This is just the next step of, you know, showing, hey, they're still relevant. Look at them here.
Well, you know, hopefully what we'll be able to do is, and again, it's really early stage, but the first step was being able to get these images from Hasbro. The next step is to try to work with them a little closer with the hub, has been what the initial discussion is, so that there is the possibility that we may be able to get a reciprocal link going. And the idea there is now you get to get exposure to the people who are buying the new ponies, see them. I think they're called the Hub 4 ponies, isn't that what we decided now?
The Hub 4. I'm just calling them Hub ponies. I'm just going with Hub. I'm not bringing in 4 yet because there's going to be more than 4. Okay. In a year, talk to me. It might be a G4 by then, but for now they're Hub. Okay. Until they get affiliated outside of that cartoon series. Right now that is the only affiliation they have. So.
But if there's a way that, you know, the consumers, you know, they're obviously targeting those towards, you know, 10 to 12-year-old girls.
Oh, thank God. I was so upset when they were targeting the 3 to 7. I'm like, come on.
Bring it up a notch. If those children are able to understand that there's a way for them to catalog out what they've got and start seeing it, and then they can see the lineage of the ponies and understand that, you know what, there were ponies before these ponies. Some of those people are going to get bit. They're going to get into the collecting of the ponies. They're going to go, wow, I like those ones too. There's going to be some of them, believe it or not, are going to go, wow, I really like the G2s.
No, actually, G2s do have some redeeming qualities. And if nothing else proved it, Core 7 created a whole new generation of G2 lovers.
Yeah. So
amazing.
So
I think that was part of Hasbro's plan all along.
If that works, if we're able to do anything even close to that, it gives us the ability to get that much more exposure and help grow the community and sustain it. Because like you said, you're spot on. If new people don't get exposed to it, A, the collection dies, and B, you go to a meet and it's only the 5 people that are still alive.
No fun.
You know, it's fun when you see a collector have that new, younger collector come into the community, and they get to, you know, share their wisdom, share their experience, share their knowledge with that person, and see that person have that same spark and that same fire and enthusiasm of you know, the getting involved in it and appreciating it and appreciating the collectible. That's the essence behind it anyway. So.
See, I'm so wrapped up in this really engaging interview that I forgot to go tuck in my kid, okay? That is just so messed up. I had to just go sneak up in there. She's not supposed to be in bed already on a Friday night, but apparently she tuckered herself out. She's up in bed.
Aww.
I'm going, where's my kid? And I'm going, oh, my gosh, I'm like the worst mother on the planet. I did not say goodnight to my daughter. Thanks, Ryan.
Far behind you on that one.
And as if that weren't bad enough, you know what else we did? We didn't do pony snack time. Okay, we messed it up again.
Why in the world would you eat ponies for snacks? That just sounds wrong.
Pony fruit snacks. Come on, they're made by like Betty Crocker. You have no pony fruit snacks?
Weren't you briefed?
It's like part of the show. You're supposed to come prepared.
I didn't bring it up for the whole class.
I can't believe it. Do we even bother doing pony snack time at all? It's 11:30 at night.
Well, that's up to you. Will we do it?
Yes, we'll do it. Okay. I get my fix.
You have to love our little, you know, interludes. Right in the middle of something.
Yeah, right. I don't care if he was talking. I need pony snacks. Okay. All right. I got to kiss him up to the pony gods. I need green.
Normally about this time, little Ellie Cat and Kitten are fighting over the green ones, and we have had an incident in which they fought over them literally.
Yes, we've actually lost connection during our wrestles. We've actually had things falling down, crashing, screams. Usually pony snack time is a really violent part of our show. But since Kitten is asleep, I get to enjoy the pony snacks. And what happens? I get one green. I totally get robbed. I get one green. I get 4 stinking purples. I don't like purple.
Here.
Purples first, because you got to save the ones that you like for last, because that's the taste that you want to have lingering. There we go. Purple.
Oh, my puppy. He seems to like him.
You can't
throw
him
like
away. It's up there throwing away pony stuff. You just don't do it.
Well, now correct me if I'm wrong, but Mimic is so valuable because all the little girls were throwing Mimic away when it first came out, right?
I think she was short-packed and she just wasn't a favorite color.
Yeah,
but she's really not that rare.
She was
she's
the
just
purple.
Very sought after.
Yeah, she was the purple one. In your...
Yeah, in the analogy.
Exactly.
Which, if
yeah.
you look at it that way, she's actually the green one now because, well, everybody wants Mimic.
There you go.
I think the green is my favorite. Although it has nothing to do with Mimic, it is really close to the body color of Mimic. A little bit closer to Cool Breeze, though, I think. Yeah. Definitely
this
a little
is
bit
horrible.
More Cool Breeze.
This is seriously horrible. My dog came in here after I came in here with the bag of pony snacks. I was just standing there kind of like, am I getting any?
I'm getting close to my favorite colors, the pink hearts and the green pony. I just got to choke down an orange one and I'm home free. All right, here we go. Oh, it's orange. I love oranges, but I don't like artificial orange. It's just gross. But I was a good girl. I ate it. Okay, now we can move on to pink hearts. Ah, thank you, God. Sigh of relief. Now we can enjoy the moment again. Okay. I'm just going to savor this strawberry moment. Was there anything you wanted to add, Panda? Are you eating?
Actually, my dog is eating the entire pack.
Lame. You need to at least have one.
Well, I've had two.
All right, you had two. All right, here it is. It's the green one. It's gonna go. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right. My life is complete.
No, we're not strange at all on the My Little Pony Talk Show.
Boy. You know, but
I
still feel empty. I mean, I have not been wrestled to the floor. I have been... Kitten will do things. She'll, like, be around the house. She'll startle me out of the middle of nowhere.
She'll
I just feel like...
inside of things.
He's like, wake her up and say, here, throw something at me. I did get smacked by Tomcat, though, so that's something.
I will accept that.
Ryan, you were awesome. I really appreciate your engaging interview.
It's really been my pleasure. So
you kept up with me, and
which is very good.
We did well. You held your ground. You were very informative. You even had me where initially I was like, yeah, this is cool, but I'm not thrilled with a lot of these aspects. You were able to really define them in a way that was much more appealing and made really allayed kind of some of the fears that I had. That article that was done for you, that press article, really did not shine the nicest light on what you're bringing on board. Really did come across more like a money-making, you know, we're going to suck them in, but if they want to do anything cool, it's going to be $8 a month. It's like, no. Well, it sounds like you really are looking at the whole thing on a broad level. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that all that really works out, because that sounds like it's got amazing potential.
Well, good. I'm glad that it's been helpful. You know, there's a lot of stuff we're putting out there. There are some things, like I said earlier, there's some things that will have some fees associated with them, because at some point we do have to run a business.
I say, when do you plan to actually make money? 2014, maybe?
No, we've got a plan a little bit sooner than that.
I'm guessing you haven't given up the day job yet, right?
Exactly. I haven't totally given up the day job yet. So,
the pony,
but
you take over your brain?
If You know, I know way more about ponies than any of my friends.
That's impressive.
The that was fun.
You know, I probably, but yeah, but do you know anything about MMA or UFC, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, okay, now we can talk. Let's go toe-to-toe, buddy. Come on.
I've even trained.
Oh, dear Lord.
So I,
that's a whole nother conversation, okay? I'm a huge UFC fan.
Okay. The what's been fun is when I've talked to people just on a business level about what we're doing and what we're setting up as a business, you know, especially if I'm talking to like an older gentleman, and I'll challenge him. I'll go, hey, if I show you a picture of a pony, what do you think you can tell me about it? And they just look at me. I mean, it usually stops the conversation cold.
I'd say that it probably makes their eyes glaze over.
Well, they kind of go in a little bit of shock for a second. But a lot of the users that we're having, you know, weren't doing this so much at the beginning, but we've seen that that's picked up. But, you know, with the filtering and the ability to identify a pony through the site, you know, we found that pretty much any of the ponies, if anything that we have in there, you can get to it within about 4 mouse clicks by being able to identify it by, you know, the attributes that it has. And so, you know, again, that goes to putting tools and putting information and putting things out there for the collectors so that even the new collector can have that almost expert-level knowledge. In other words, I could be, like me, for instance, you know, I've been to one pony show. Now, granted, I've probably looked at a lot more pony data than even some pony collectors out there, but it's because of what I'm dealing with. But I can... You know, I can feel very comfortable picking up a pony and going to the site and going click, 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 you know, based on, well, what color body is it? Or, you know, and it narrows that view for me really, really fast to show me, well, it's only going to fit, you know, if you pick, like, only has blue hair and only has a blue body, there's like 20 ponies, I think, within the ponies we have.
No, there's not that many ponies with blue hair, blue body.
We do actually have Dutch Diary in the database.
I was like, there's Dutch Diary, and there's Baby Blue Ember, and then there's Blueberry Basket.
There's a handful of them, and then
if
you want to slice
them
down.
But I get your idea.
You know, it drops it down real quick just off of those two things, and then if it's a baby versus an adult, is it, you know, you add just one more item to it, it drops it down even further, and it allows somebody that, you know, I might not know exactly, but it gets me to something really, really fast to where now
Baby
I'm like, oh, it's
Baby Sapphire. How could I forget to mention her off the top of my head? Sorry.
So,
very important.
You know, putting that stuff up. Now, I do have a question for you, ladies. Is it possible that we could link to y'all to the interview, to the show?
Oh, absolutely.
I will be able to get you that link tomorrow. Once
sure.
Everything has finally updated in Blog Talk's system,
mm-hmm.
I often find that if there is a day lag between the time we finish being on and when they actually will say, okay, here's the link, here you go.
That is actually not always the case, but in this case you're just going to have to wait till tomorrow because we said so.
Not a problem. I'm fine with that. We'll be happy to, you know, it'd be great because, like you said, there's been some good information. That's one of the reasons I wanted to make sure that I was excited about this. I was willing to, you know, spend the time with you ladies to make sure that I answered questions so that anybody that might have heard part of something at the show or maybe heard it from another person or read that article, which had some good things about it, but it did kind of,
it left you with a lot of questions about, hey, what's going on with that? So I was glad that, I mean, I know we didn't touch on every single question that could possibly come up, but I'm hoping that we were able to make a good amount of ground for clarifying some of the things that you want to do that I don't think is widely known about the site and certainly not information available on your site at this time. So this is a great way for people to find out if they actually just want to put on some background noise and kind of tune in while they're doing other stuff to really find out some of the more intricate ideas of what you're doing. And I hope that you enjoyed doing it. I hope you had fun with the interview.
Absolutely. It's been a lot of fun.
I'm glad. I'm definitely glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad we were able to finally get you in. I'm so sorry that it was kind of a bit of a last minute. Hey, can you do the show?
Yeah, you were really flexible there. We had to get through Argentina. Argentina was like a monster, and we really just had to finish that country before we were able to kind of take a break and get back to the interviews. And when the convention happened, we were in Argentina. So it was kind of hard to... We already had to make the break for the pre- and post-convention shows, and we were just like, oh, gosh, let's get through this, and then we'll get back to introducing some of the more interesting, you know, off-topic, out-of-the-usual line of programming type stuff. So I'm really, I was thrilled to find out that you were available that quickly, because we were like suddenly, oh, my gosh, we're between countries, let's do something. And that was great. I was really surprised she was able to get you to be able to be available so quickly on a Friday night. So.
It's my pleasure. Like I said, you know, I really think it's important that we always share anything that's going on. You know, again, if I don't make myself available, if, you know, we don't answer questions, if we don't respond to emails, then it looks like we're not doing what maybe it says we're doing. And that's what gets companies in trouble. And that's what gets, you know, people in trouble is just not, you know, being willing to say, hey, this is what we're doing.
And so for other identifying information, I know that you do post on the boards, and your username on the boards, is it Collect?
It is.
It's K-L-E-C-T on both the arena and the trading post?
Yes, it's MLP underscore Collect.
Okay, so see, that's slightly different. It's MLP underscore Collect. So that's another good thing is that, you know, when you're making posts and if people want to contact you for some reason through the boards or, you know, obviously at your site, www.collect.com would be an easier way. But to be able to recognize you when you are making posts on the board is also another good thing to see. So I wanted to make sure that people knew that that was specifically you, if that wasn't already blatantly obvious. You know, because somebody could be trying to impersonate you.
Well, you know, I think...
And that's nice, as is also your sister is also a really good piece of information as well to kind of just kind of bring all those pieces together.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things, and this is, again, our flexibility, we originally had part of our design, even up to the point of the show, it was still an intent, was to start putting our own forum. Well, the reality is, there are two really, really, really solid forums out there. Why? Why try to make a third? It doesn't make sense. You know, and
have you
so,
been in talks with the forums as far as connecting them directly to the Collect site?
I am trying. And
because that's
gonna
be a political process for you.
Yes. I've heard and that may be something that if you guys have some insight or any information, maybe we can have a future conversation, but I have not actually gotten connected with the right people at the forum, because again, it makes more sense to either link or work with the community instead of trying to tell the community to fit in our box.
All right. Well, if you need to reach me, obviously I'm Lil Alicat at both the Trading Post and the Arena, as well as here. That's L-I-L. Alicat. And I, having been around a little bit, might be able to help you out a little bit with some of that information, although I'm sure your sister also, I can't remember which board she frequents more, but we all have our connections more in one area or another. So if you have any more questions on that area, I may be able to help you out with that if you want to contact me. So put that out for you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And I really appreciate you having come on. And, you know, I think we should let Panda have the last word because, you know, I had more than enough words.
Again, you know, it was great meeting you at the convention, and it was actually a really big surprise meeting you. I mean, I know Lil Alicat doesn't know this, but seeing you again on the plane.
That's right. We were on the same airplane together.
And you know what? The funniest thing was that wasn't even my flight. I got there, mind you, I was trying to check that big, huge white box that I had.
Mm-hmm.
That was almost the size, almost the height of me. And I was trying to check that in with my checked luggage, and they're like, you know what? We're going to fly you out on an earlier flight. I was supposed to fly out an hour or two later. And they're like, we're going to throw you on the next flight going out. Well, one second, about half an hour. And I'm going up the aisle, and I look over, it's you.
Yep, I remember saying hi to you.
Yeah, hey, you does Collecto have Facebook going on yet?
You know, there is we do have a MLP Collect Facebook page, and we do have a Twitter feed.
We really need to start getting all that linked, because we have arena pages, we have collector pages, we have My Little Pony Talk page. We could also link our interview right on the My Little Pony Talk Facebook page to make people aware of it. So, you know, again, now is the day and age. Everything is so linked, and sometimes you got to remember, oh, yeah, we have that link too. So we'll have to all interlink and have your people call my people.
Exactly, and they can do lunch. We do have the Facebook and the Twitter links.
We're not advanced enough to do Twitter yet.
Both posted off of our homepage, and we did get both of them posted on about the fact that we were going to be doing this interview to just try to share with the people that are already following us. To let them know about it.
Okay.
So when we get the link out there, we'll get that updated as well.
Well, that'll be awesome.
Okay. I was actually planning on getting you that link, but, I mean, you asked me about it, and it was like, hey, there we go.
Oh, Mrs. G got cut off finally. Oh, well. I wonder what time that was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I messaged her on the TP. What time did you actually get cut off? Because there's a bit of a question as to when things actually get cut off, because we know there is about a minute delay from whatever we say to what's streaming live. So we're about a minute ahead of everything they're listening to. So it becomes quite interesting when people comment when we're live to something that we just said 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, if that is a little bit... And it's funny, we see somebody all of a sudden laughing out loud, and we're going, what are they laughing about?
Wait a minute. 2 minutes ago. What did we do?
Yeah, right. And then we have to backtrack. What were we just talking about? And I don't know about you, but I do not remember what I was even saying 2 minutes ago. Other than I'm probably interrupting Panda. I can almost guarantee you I was doing that 2 minutes ago. What? No laugh?
Yeah,
no giggle track, Panda? Come on. I rely on this.
You did. Sorry, my dog is driving me insane here. I've given him pony snacks, now he's driving me insane. There's no more. Go away. Go to bed.
I think I will go to bed, thank you. I'm rather tired. I've had my pony snacks, and now it's time to go to bed.
Well, you know, this is the part of the show, we do say goodbye, and we also let an extra special person say goodbye. But again, it was great having you on the show, Ryan. Thanks for doing it. Such short notice.
My pleasure.
And such a thorough interview. I mean, seriously, this was like a monster interview, and I think that's great. It's so much information.
You know, I hope to be back then, as we continue to expand, grow, and hopefully get better for y'all and better for everybody.
We'll definitely keep us posted.
Because
have you back, let's say you have you back in 6 months, but we do like to try and announce things that are going on in the pony community. So we could say, hey, there was this new thing that was added to Collect, guys should check it out. Or, hey, this new thing came out from Hasbro. So we do mention relevant things when they come up, or at least we try to. So even if it's not something worthy of a full-blown interview, which we'd be more than happy to have you on periodically to update us on any, new stuff, if you just drop us a line and you think there's something you just think people need to know about right away, Just let us know, and we'll mention it on the show.
Thank you. Again, appreciate it. And if this is not farewell, but just goodbye for now, right?
That it is.
Goodbye for now.
Have a great evening and great week. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
This is Game on All, and you have listened to Pony Talk. See you next week. Bye-bye.
That really was a great interview.
That was. I was quite pleased with it.
Me too.
Quite shocked that he could talk so much. I'm not used to that. I'm like, wow, these are like thoughtful, long, well-spoken responses that actually answered the question I was going to ask next. Which was awesome.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think, yeah, definitely we try to have him on again.
You know, what I really appreciated, though, was how he rolled with the punches.
Oh, yeah. Miss Gat, she definitely said, you know, he's staying on time. He's staying on top of things. Even after my vicious giggle attack.
That was a pretty good one. Yeah, you gotta figure. I mean, I can only expect that the poor guy had not listened to any of our shows. I don't think he was like, you know, oh, I better, you know, do my research on the Pony Talk show to see what I'm getting into. So, you know, he's probably coming in pretty blind, and I can only imagine how half of this stuff was hitting him out of nowhere. So I think he maintained composure pretty well. So either he really likes us, or he is really good at faking it.
Or he's right now, he just got off the phone, hung up, and just is laughing his backside off.
Could be. Or he's still on, just listening to us.
He is. He did hang up.
Okay, he's gone. Oh, man. Can you believe that guy? No, kidding.
No.
No, that was good. That was a good interview. I think it went well. And I think you're getting better at your interviewing skills.
Oh, you mean just letting you talk?
hey, no. For the first part, though, you held your own really pretty well. It wasn't until things like we started kind of running out of questions and veering off into other topics, like having to come up with questions that we hadn't already pre-prepared, I think it got a little trickier. But
yeah.
I think you did well.
And I do have to admit, again, you know, it is Friday night. I have had a full work week, and it was the end of the month at work. So, you know, that gets hectic.
It does, you know, and again, you know, it's a personality thing as well. I am much more accustomed to that social aspect. Then I think, you know, I mean, come on. When's the last time you listened to your first show? So the leaps and bounds you have made. And
oh,
so, you know, it's only going to get better. I think with our next interview that we'll put together, I think we should probably plan for the possibility that we may need more questions. We'll have, like, the base questions, and if this person happens to be really thorough and enjoying themselves, we can ask these questions. Because I think up until now, we've really kind of limited ourselves thinking that people wanted to get on and off and not really be there for the whole 2 hours, but rather, you know, hey, I got like 30 minutes I can give you. And so we really would try to keep like a very concise, you know, we want to hit these questions and go. I don't think either one of us was prepared for the fact that he was more than happy to hang around for 2.5 hours. So another learning experience for us here at the My Little Pony Talk Show.
Yes, we are always learning, we are always growing, we are always giggling.
Yeah, and I think certainly this show should satiate some of the more pony purists who really wanted a talk show that had just pony talk. I think this is the most pony talkiest show we've probably done.
In a while, yes.
In a while, yeah. I mean, gosh, Argentina threw us completely for a loop.
I think it was the fact that, you know, we knew we had several more weeks to go, and it's kind of like, we need to talk about something else. and not just Argentina.
And it was summer. There was just other stuff going on. And we had the convention in the middle of that. And then I was on vacation for 1 week. And it's just like, you know, it's like somebody on one thread actually equated us to being kind of like a, it might have been Mrs. G. So it's sort of like a morning talk show. You kind of got to get into that. We kind of went into this like morning talk show routine for a while there. And we still do to a degree, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we really took that morning talk show part to its extreme over the summer.
Yeah, but I think we'll probably be getting back into the groove of more ponies, less chit-chat.
Chit-chat down just a little bit. Yeah, no more 45 minutes until we get around to the ponies. Might be a little bit long for people who actually want to hear about the ponies.
Oh, yeah.
Unless it's all pony talk, specifically. Obviously.
I will say, you know, I was actually, when you guys were in the big gist of actually going through and talking, you know, I was on the website. I was using it, and, you know, I was going through and I was clicking off what I had, and then I realized, okay, wait a minute, I over-clicked, and I went back, and it's like, how do I delete? And then I figured it out. It really is real easy to say, oops, I made a mistake. I don't have that one. Going back in, looking through it, finding it, and clicking it, and taking it out.
Sounds like he's actually going to make some of that process a little more intuitive as well. I really like the idea of we have inventories available online, and they all have different things that are unique to them. You know, not to say that any one needs to be outruled, but I think this one's going to have certain, particularly for newer collectors, that I think this is really going to help with those people that, it's going to help with everybody, but particularly with the newer collectors that are dealing with the core collection, don't know as much.
Holy cow.
Need something that's really easy to use, just like a light switch. They don't want to know how electricity was made. They don't want to get down into what kind of light bulbs they have in the damn lamp. They just want to turn on the switch and make it work. And, you know, a good percentage of the community is really at that stage. And it sounds like so this is really going to fill, hopefully, this has a lot of potential. Like right now you go to the site and it's really in a stripped-down version of a lot of the stuff that he's talking about. If he's able to pull it all off, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that evolves, especially I want to see how my value evolves. Get more ponies out there. I want to up my value.
At least let's see this way. I've just put in my G1s, and oh, my God, the number of G1s that I have, that includes the little animals for the play sets. I didn't realize how many I had until just now.
Were you pleasantly surprised? What was it?
268.
Ooh, look at that. And that's not counting your G3s.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought I had about 300, and it's like, this is way more than, can be way
but
more than 300.
But that's the thing, is the counting of the animals and stuff like that, kind of. Again, it goes back to, what do you really count? Do you count items in the collection? Do you count just the ponies? Like, if I just count ponies, it's one thing. If I start counting all the animals and the bushwallies and all the nonsense like that, I mean, yeah, I'm over 1,000 easy. But
well, take away those items, I've got 6. That makes it 262.
Either way, that's definitely more than you thought you had.
Oh, yeah. That's about what I thought I had total.
Yeah, and then from what I understand, don't you have a larger G3 collection than you do G1?
Oh, dear Lord.
So you're probably pushing more like, what, 500-600 ponies?
Oh, my God, I don't even know. I don't even think I want my mother to know how many I've got.
You know, you may have to reassess your place in pony standing. You may have much more ponies than you realize.
my God, I may not be a noob any longer.
Well, I think this show has definitely matured you and also had you buying ponies that you may not have otherwise been aware of. It really started to change some of the nature of your collection.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I'm more appreciating the more, you know, yes, it is mint pony, but...
there's something wonderful about a mint pony, let me tell you.
But, you know, I'm still the, hey, you're a pony, you need a home. Come home with me.
And we need that, too. You know, I'm not saying they're trash, I'm just saying they're not for my home. But...
but I will gladly take them into mine.
That's good. That's a beautiful thing. And you know what? Once again, we are approaching that hour where they're going to shut us off.
Yes.
And we managed to do this without Karen.
Oh, my God.
I know. I feel so bad. I hope she listens to the show and enjoys it. I miss her so much. I can't wait till she's back on. And I hope she's not too bummed out that she missed the interview. I can't remember. I know I texted her, but I can't remember if I texted her that we were doing the interview or not. Gosh, it was so long ago. It was like 3 hours ago. I just can't remember. Everything seems like so long ago.
Yeah, but I can already see a few things where, you know, I think I might pick them up on that, you know, let me know type thing, so.
Well, hon, I'm really getting off the phone now. I mean, whether they were cutting us off in 3 minutes or not, I am getting off the phone because I'm tired. I'm really, really tired.
Oh, definitely. Me too.
Had fun. Hope you had fun.
Next week, we did. Next week, we will be, of course, going to Viva Mexico.
Who?
We are going to Mexico.
Mexico?
Mexico.
Okay, we're going to Mexico.
Mexico.
Mexico, right on. All right, we're going to Mexico next week. And I actually have a Mexican pony, so I can share in that in real life. You just got to wear, like, special gloves because they got lead inside them. But that's all to talk about next week.
Until next week, definitely now, pony bye-byes.
Oh, definitely. Bye-bye.
Arrivederci. Is she gone? She is. 3 minutes to myself. Oh, no. It's so scary. I need my 262 ponies to keep me safe. I'm going to go run to them now. Till next week. Bye-bye.